show.
And they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
It's still time.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Still so beautiful, yet so beautiful. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Put some baby powder on my balls and all the...
Hey, watch it.
Back after a busy weekend of covering David Hainline with their hideous goo, it's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast and nationwide, still syndicated with the Westwood One Radio Network. Don and Mike Show, Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, coming to you from our flagship station.
Yeah.
Radio station WJFK-FM in Washington, D.C. We have over 5 million Arbitron-rated listeners who listen to this show every day.
Yes, they do.
And we humbly thank you. And, of course, no thanks to the people at the top of the food chain. That'd be Big Al, your radio pal, Jeremy the Gerbil, Big Daddy Mel, and Donald Monkey Boy Ephraim. And here he is. I haven't fired a shot yet. You know him as Forrest Gump. It's our friend Michael J. Birdley. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Well, the first order of business, I know everybody wants to know. First, let me say, it is February 7th.
February. Mm-hmm.
And our phone number is 1-877-365-3636.
Right.
Today's show is absolutely jam-packed. We will be giving away a trip to Iceland today.
Wow. That's a cool prize. I'd love to go to Iceland.
Amen. Also, the fairy godmother is going to call us today. Richard Simmons will be back on the show.
Oh, that'll be very nice.
After nearly 3 years of hiatus.
That'll be great.
Dick Simmons calling the show today. But our top story... was ever in doubt.
No, there was no way we were going to lose. No,
we killed them.
Even if we didn't win on our own, we weren't going to be... They weren't going to let us lose, the people out there.
But you know what? I'm proud to say, on behalf of everybody on our team, the good guys team,
yeah,
we didn't have to cheat to win.
Well, maybe you didn't. I cheated like 3 times. I came back to life 3 times. But technically, I cheated big time because I got killed so quick that I wanted to play. You know, but I will also tell you this: my participation in no way affected the outcome of the game. I think I killed one person. It was like well into the game.
Oh, it was beautiful for me.
It was wonderful.
It was so beautiful. I never got hit. I killed 2 people.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And yes, the salespeople can all bow down and give us a gigantic Monica.
Absolutely.
Do you hear me, salespeople?
Mm-hmm.
Rob, go bring me General Hainline.
Yes.
I think it's time for a concessionary statement.
I got David Hainline almost in the neck. I can't wait to see the picture he was taken.
I think he was hit by I got him in the shoulder.
He was hit. Did you see how he was hit?
Yeah.
All headshots, too. I can't wait to see the picture at the end of the day with your foot on David Hainline and your gun as the victor in the war.
Now is the losing general. Hello, David.
You know, I've been thinking about this all weekend. First off, it was great. I was very surprised at the skill your team showed on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But the amazing thing about the whole game was is how you and Mike couldn't die. I thought I was in the Terminator movie and you guys were Terminators.
David, nobody hit me. I never got hit.
You never got hit?
My suit was absolutely clean. Nobody ever got a clean shot at me.
I was the one that was the phoenix rising from the ashes, as somebody said that was out there. I believe I was killed 3 times.
Well, I
and came back
times.
To life. And I didn't come back to life to cheat to win the game. I came back to life because I wasn't just going to stand there while everybody else was having fun. I wanted to shoot my gun. That's it. And, you know, they were helping me like I was just the poor little fat boy out there. My gun would run out of ammo and one of the assistants would come up and fill it for me. My gun jammed and I started whining early in the game and he came over and he said, oh, you have to press this button. I'm like, well, it still doesn't fire. and then I just kept going. I was so bored. And then I got ambushed by a guy that was pretending to be dead, and I said to one of the assistants in the yellow shirt, I said...
One of the referees,
I said, is he dead? And he said, yes. And as I turned away from him, I got like 8 shots right in the neck.
Yes.
Big, well, painful shot.
But David, you got killed quite a few times, didn't you?
Well, Mike hit me right in the eye.
I hit him a dead eye. I nailed that.
Because he's hiding behind that log, and I had my gun perfectly... geared at them. I must have shot 50 paintballs at you.
Right.
So every time, you couldn't pick up your head because your whole gear was completely covered in paint.
Right.
When you
got
up, it just kept squirting.
At least one of the times that I hit you, I know you had been hit, I think, maybe by Jim McClure. And you would put your hand up, and you were walking off, and I couldn't help myself.
There you go.
I just squeezed one off and got you right in the shoulder.
Oh, you hit me too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Did you have any welts on you?
Well, I have a sore chin where McClure hit me.
First time I got hit in the chin. Right underneath. I don't know how a paintball could get underneath my protective mask, but I got it. I think I was killed a total of 5 times, but I only raised my hand 3 times, and then I came back to life every time.
You know what's great about playing with girls? David had lots of girls on his team.
Yes.
And one of the girls on David's team is one of our closest friends here, Shondell.
Yes.
And Shondell was running through the woods approaching our flag.
Right.
And I was up in the hills as a sniper.
Right.
And I just yelled out, I said, "Hey, Shondell." He turned around and looked at me and boom! I got him right in the neck.
It was great running around in the woods playing army.
But David, what would you like to say now?
Well,
what would you like to say to everybody?
Well, there's just a couple of stories. I don't think you know everything that happened.
I know that we won. We captured the flag.
You guys won. And it was your son who captured the flag.
Yes, our team won. The good guys won.
And you took the top of the hill. And, of course, I'm playing the low ground like an idiot. I should have, you know, I read enough Civil War books that I should have realized that you have to get the hill, top of the hill, to win a war.
Right. Yeah, so that's exactly what we did. That was our strategy. So, do you want to whine about something?
No, you guys were great.
But you said there were a few things we didn't know.
Oh, well, when McClure hit me, I was dead. And I was not less than 5 feet from him. And all of a sudden, he hit me 4 times. Boom, 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 boom.
Well, I want to make sure you're dead.
Yeah, I was dead. And he was dead, too. So it was nice.
I hit a lot of people after they were dead, too. Because I was so angry when I got ambushed. I was really mad. I mean, mad, because it hurt. And when you get hit and it hurts, and you find out, it's like, no, that's just a strategy. You walk next to the referee like nothing's happened. But I don't even know who this guy was.
Right.
He had a tattoo on his neck.
He was a listener. He called me like 10 times last week. He wanted to play.
Oh, see, you are stalking your team.
I got one.
You deserve to lose.
You deserve to lose.
David? Say it. Say it.
We are the champions.
The Terminator.
That's my new term. Actually, the whole sales staff was talking when we got in this morning. Everybody had a great time. Everybody wants a rematch.
Yeah, I want to do one of the Litigus.
Anytime.
And everybody wants you guys to die fairly.
What I want to do is I want to do
Nobody
it.
Got me, David. Talk to the incredible replicating man.
I said that's what I was known as, the incredible reincarnating man here. I want to do it when it's warmer, and I want to do it in swimsuit.
Oh, no, you don't want to do it.
You know when you got me in the eye, Mike?
Yeah.
My glasses were fucked up. I was having so much fun aiming towards your head.
Remember the original Godfather movie? You know, when they go to see Mo Green?
Yeah.
And Mo Green's getting a massage, and he puts his glasses on, and he looks up, and boom! That's the way I got David.
I'm trying to wipe them off and be careful, knowing that you guys were up in the hills overlooking and taking shots at me, and knowing that Mike was around the corner from me.
David, you know what else hurts you? What hurts you is the fact that everybody wore camouflage except you. You wore your snow bunny suit, which identified you immediately as the easiest target to hit.
And your gray London fog walk the dog outfit. And, I mean, you were very easy to spot.
Why didn't you wear cami? They had cami for everybody to wear.
By the time I went over to the table, it was my slowness and moving over to the table. Everything was already spoken for. And I was having so much fun charging myself up going against you guys.
And then you parked me in at the end of the day. And do you know how close I came to really running you over?
Did you notice that?
At the end of the day, David Hamline was the only guy that was parked
right there. I heard you scream his name out when you left.
I was so mad.
You were swearing at me.
And then, I was big time. And then I got over and I see you. And just as I finally start to back up, you started to back up. And it was, I see your little head, and all I did was floor it in reverse. And I came probably within 2 inches of like, taking off the back of your
floor. My wheels were burning rubber.
I almost got you.
I was really.
And how would you feel if you would have really have run over David?
I would have called fine. I was my pickup truck. It didn't matter, you know.
I burned rubber on grass. That's all. I floored it.
You saw it in my face, didn't you, that I was not going to slow down when I was backing up. You just had me hemmed. It was such a Hamline move. It's like you always do. You just come in and it's like, hey, hi, buddy. Where to park? I'll park right behind this row of cars right here where nobody can get out.
Well, listen, he's being instructed to park there.
He's the losing general.
Yes, yeah. Just face it. You're the losing general. You're the losing team. You got killed. Get out of here.
Did you hear what happened in the second game?
I don't care.
Goodbye.
The second game.
You got an injury?
Not me. Tim McCarthy actually, Charlie picked him off. And Tim McCarthy was falling down the hill and went to grab a tree and cut his hand. He had 5 stitches in his hand.
Really? Thank you, David. Thank you. We don't care about the casualties for the Vietnamese. All I care is that we talk the talk and we walk the walk.
Absolutely.
And at the end of the paintball game on Saturday,
yes,
we were the big winners.
We were the victors.
Yeah. Killed them. I think, as a matter of fact, I think we had successfully killed all 12 members of their team. But we were running back across the field with the flag. We had a big escort, but nobody to shoot at.
At one point, I came back to the home court. The first time I think I was killed, and Buzz said something like, I'm wondering whether I'm going to get a chance to fire my gun.
Yeah,
Buzz was one of the guys that was in charge of guarding the home base. And I said, Buzz, you know, run out there and shoot it.
Well, my assignment was to guard the flag with Dennis Murphy.
Maybe that's why at one point Jim McClure came running back towards me and he said, "You gotta go forward. We're going to the fort. We'll have Buzz and Dennis there. Go to the fort.
We're tackling the fort.
Go to the fort, Randy Boss."
I was at the fort. There was no trouble. Just relax. Everything.
We want to thank everybody from Kev's Paintball.
Yeah,
they couldn't have been nicer.
They were fantastic.
They really took care of us. As a matter of fact, they held my hand for the entire war.
Not only that, we'd also like to thank all of the people. I'm amazed that 100 people actually showed up.
Yeah, I was blown away by
at
that.
At 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, as evidenced by people took photographs. Some people actually took us up on our advice and made banners.
Yes.
Here's one that says, "Team NSH loves Don and Mike."
That's great.
We had a bunch of dads and their kids out there watching us.
Nice people out there, too. There were a couple of guys that came out there and brought coffee and donuts for everybody.
And booze.
And Bailey's. Yeah, right? Bailey's Irish Cream.
And booze. The people at Pev's, you're absolutely right, could not have been nicer.
Oh, yeah.
They hooked us up with some very nice paintball jerseys when we were done.
Yeah, yeah, and I put mine on. I was wearing it all weekend.
Oh, and as it turns out, do you know the unfair advantage I had?
What's that?
The gun that they had given me was not only the gun that shoots the paintballs super fast,
right,
but mine was an automatic.
Yeah.
Meaning that if you just put your finger on the trigger, it just shoots balls nonstop.
Yeah, right. You actually can take it and go da, 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 and tap it. But it wasn't. But it, we
don't know
the difference. It wasn't fully automatic.
No, mine was.
No. It's fully automatic is when you squeeze the trigger and it comes out like a machine gun.
That's. I'm telling you, that's mine. I had the guy told me when I was done. That's like, you remember when I shot Charlie Stossel?
And I mean, you had a machine gun?
Yeah.
Wow.
I had an illegal weapon, and I found out when we got done.
That's right, because you didn't get the same gun that I thought you were going to get.
No.
The only one, which was the gun that belonged to the owner.
Semi-automatic.
The guy who semi-runs the place, the other owner, came up to me.
He gave you a better gun.
Gave me and said, "This is my own personal gun. This is an automatic."
Which is, did you fire off a lot of, like, machine gun bursts?
I went through 5 canisters of paintball. You know, they hooked some of the guys up on our team as mules.
Right.
Where they would strap these Velcro things around our belly, and on the back we had canisters, and we're supposed to be able to refill other guys.
Right.
I used all of my canisters myself, because I had this gun. You just tap on the trigger.
Right.
And it was
that was pretty cool.
Non-stop.
Yeah, really, it was a lot of fun. We had a blast.
It was the greatest. It really was. I was a little sore on Saturday night.
So was I. Yeah.
After running up the hill, down the hill.
You know, you're not aware of the fact that you're exerting yourself, that you are, and you're, you know, you're using muscles that you never used before, and my arm was tired.
We have tapes. We will get to the tape. We have highlights for you of the actual paintball battle. We had Rob Spiewak, Mike, during the entire match, and also Joe Ardinger, our man in the field, Slow Joe, was out, and he was also carrying a wireless microphone that was taped to his chest.
That's great.
So you will be able to hear that. You'll hear us win the battle.
Right.
You'll hear our victorious celebration afterwards.
You'll hear us cussing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's some cussing on this thing.
Yeah, big time.
Absolutely, there's some cussing. Oh, Mike, here's the guy who shot you in the back.
Okay, here we go.
Bob.
Mike.
Hey, Bob.
Sorry about shooting you so many times in the net.
That's okay, Bob.
But, my whole plan was hoping that you would think I was dead.
Yeah, but I asked the referee, who nodded and said you were dead, so.
Did you ask the ref that was walking beside me?
Yeah, that's the guy. He said you were dead.
Oh, I had not, because if I would have heard that, I would have told you flat out, I'm not dead.
You got me, buddy.
I'm so mad at you.
That hurt. You hurt me. You hurt me, like, point blank.
I turned around, like, 8 shots right in the neck.
Would you have run over this guy also if you could have after the game?
Yes, I would have dragged him behind my vehicle.
Well, see, my theory is I don't shoot one ball.
What is that tattoo you have on your neck, too? What is that?
It's like the happy face with the side of his face, you know, just bone.
Yeah.
That's great spot for a tattoo incidental. Real handsome look.
That's the guy that got me. So you just called David Hainline and begged to be on their team?
Yes.
That's how you got into it?
Wow. Yeah, because when I called you guys, because I want to play on your team, whoever answered the phone was very rude to me.
Well, right. He no longer works here.
And I was thinking, well, I'm going to get these guys back.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad that it was so difficult for you to make your way into the game and kill me by hitting me in the neck.
I mean, wish I would have known that you would have shot my good friend Mike in the back. I would have come over with my illegal gun.
Yeah, your automatic gun.
And I would have peppered you.
Really?
Absolutely. I would have killed you. I would have killed you.
Well, the type of guns you have are Angels, and most of them are spray and pray.
Spray and pray?
Yeah.
Does that mean what, they're not accurate?
Not as accurate as my autococker. That's why I was able to hit you in the neck.
Your what?
Don't talk about your autococker on this show.
Autococker.
So that's the name of the gun.
Really?
I got your Alto Cocker right here.
Well, you.
I don't need your Cocker.
You got me. You got me, but you cheated.
If I would have known you were asking if I was out.
Listen, good guys won. That's all I care about.
That's right. We did.
That team did win.
Good guys won.
You should know that after you shot me in the neck and my neck was covered with hideous blue paint, one of the boys came and wiped my neck off and I went back in and I was reincarnated for the third time.
when I actually did get shot out, I noticed I was walking by and you saw it was me and kind of unloaded on me.
Yes, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. You mean when you were really close to me?
When I was really
close. And it's war.
That's when he was called. And then I knew he was called dead. And I'm like, okay, hey.
Hey, it's war.
Yeah.
It's war. And face it, for the rest of your life, you'll be a German.
That's right.
You'll be a Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be a Vietnamese.
And we will be the victorious American forces.
You will know what it is like.
You were on a better team.
Yes, we were. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you imagine it would be an awful show today if we had somehow lost that game?
I know. It would have been horrible.
Not a chance, though.
No, there was really no chance.
You lost.
What?
You didn't seem to come up the right side. You would have lost.
Oh, no way. No way.
When I first got up there, when you thought I was at... We got four people. Please, you, Mike.
All right, this guy's a modern war hero.
Yeah.
All right, goodbye, Sergeant Dum Dum.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you want to come play? Okay.
You know what that is, Mike, right there? That's grade A sour grape.
You bet!
Grade A sour grape, because we kicked their ass.
Absolutely. Triumph was ours.
All you sales people. Michelle, Tim, and Brad. It was a pleasure to get grabbed.
Yeah, I did.
I got him in the back of the head. It was a pleasure.
It was indeed. Conditions were a little difficult, you know, what with the snow and ice.
Oh, it was great playing in the snow.
I'll tell you right now. You know, at one point I actually lay down on my belly like a reptile and popped off a few rounds. I enjoyed that.
Fantastic.
I wasn't good at hiding, though.
Great strategy we had.
Too wide to hide.
We took the hill.
Yes.
We sent our little guys up to the top of the hill and sprayed some other guys on the side of the hill so that they could never advance on us.
It was wonderful.
Oh, we killed them.
You want to see some pictures?
Sure. Here's you and me in our soccer jerseys,
okay.
Or rather our paintball jerseys.
Yes.
Then here's, there's somebody for the bad guys team. I'm not sure who that is. We had the yellow armbands, right?
Right.
Yellow. They had blue armbands.
Sure, yeah.
Let me see. Here's, this might be Wendell Hall, our engineer.
Oh, boy, that's nasty looking.
I'm not sure who that is. Robbie, can you tell who that is? That picture, that action shot?
That looks like Wendell's physique.
Yeah. We were all pretty much on the same plan.
Right.
Here's Charlie Broyhill.
Charlie Broyhill always in the actions, always
in tight camouflage.
Charlie Broyhill with his spandex camo outfit.
Let me see that.
His spandex jumpsuit.
Now, hey, excellent action shot of me firing at somebody.
Let me see.
Look at that. In my Ice Station zebra suit.
There you go. That's great.
And here I am again.
Well,
action shot of me.
Let me see.
That's a good one, too.
Wow.
Ready to kill.
Yeah, so that's that little blue gun you had.
Yeah. Oh, here's another shot of me. Christ, there's a million pictures of me. All these action shots of me.
Look at that.
I almost look like a real fighting man. I'm going to show these pictures to Mr. Riddick.
Real fighting man.
He'll be proud of it. So he doesn't think I'm the peacenik that I am.
Fighting man.
Let's see. This is you, Mike.
Okay.
Right here. There's you running. That's you in the forefront of that picture.
That's when the game first started. That's before I was marked.
Now, look at this. This is a picture that looks like it really could have been taken during a war, because we're standing in one of these makeshift huts.
Right.
Here's Rob and I having some wartime strategy. Now, doesn't that look like you could say this is a picture from
Germany? You both your mouths. Wait, you both got the Caddyshack mouths happening there. Here's Europe.
Hello, Mrs. Craig.
All right, here's you and I. Here we are before the war.
All right.
That's a good picture of you and I wearing our camis.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Here's... I don't know what this is. This is just a picture of us taking a prisoner after we got somebody.
Right.
Boy, this guy got a million shots on me shooting. Oh, taken back. Action shot of you, Mike. Red gun, that's you.
You see?
That's you.
Oh, look at that. Look at that poised for the kill.
Here you go. Here's another action shot. That one is of you.
He's just walking. That might be me after I got hit.
And then finally, here's the best picture of all. This is the best one. This is after we had beaten the bad guys,
mm-hmm.
but we had David Heinlein on his knees in front of us. We had our guns to his neck. Like the way, you know, in Vietnam, you saw pictures of the GIs holding, like, the skulls of the dead Vietnamese guys?
Yeah.
Look at the paint. Look at the paint on Heinlein. He's covered with paint.
He really did. Oh, well, it's truly a great moment.
And thanks to everybody out of Penn St. Paul. They could have been nice to
do it. Really, they They're pretty fantastic.
They were great.
Opened up early, let everybody in for free. Supplied us with all the great ammo and all the great guns.
Yeah,
it was fantastic. Gave us these queer paintball jerseys. Who knew that they had such a thing as paintball jerseys?
And, you know, I made a point of getting there extra early because I wanted to be one of the first. But Buzz beat me. Buzz was there. What time did you get there? About 10 after?
I got there about 7:15.
Oh, I told him I got there late.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the only reason I got there early was so I could beat you there and then give you the
I pulled in a quarter to late.
Now, you had said to me, 7:30, so I was really excited when you weren't there by 7:30.
No, it's quarter to late, Buzz.
Okay.
That I am positive of, because I was paranoid about being late. The problem is, when we were coming up 95,
mm-hmm.
if you are in the HOV lanes,
right.
you can't take that exit.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go two exits up,
right.
turn around and come back. So we're hauling ass to get there.
And then when you got there, with the road where Pez Paintball was located, the sign, I think, had been knocked down.
Yes, yeah.
It had.
Thank God that Shondell was standing down by the end of the road.
Mm-hmm. Flag people in.
And I saw her shapely form.
Yes.
And I'll do it one of these, like when Buzz's microphone is off with her hands over the top of her.
If I hadn't bumped into Wendell, who was at the 7-Eleven, Wendell, who had been at the site probably since 4 a.m.
Yes. Scoping it out.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten in there.
So when I pulled in, and it was quarter till 8, I see Mike come walking towards the car. And he's just doing this. He's pointing at his watch.
Right.
And I said to Bart and his friends, are going, look at that. There's Uncle Mike. There he is. I know. And I was screaming. You couldn't hear me. I'm screaming. I know. I'm late. I told you to get here early.
Well, you know, the last...
I'm late.
Last couple of things we've had, I've been there, like, a little late. And I didn't want to be late again.
Okay.
And, I was very mad at Buzz and Joe Ardinger when they were there at the same time. I'm like, oh, God.
All right.
I guess you have to be here at 6 a.m. to beat everybody.
Bosom buddies, Buzz and Joe Ardinger.
Yes. Yeah.
They travel to the fishing hole together. They travel to the paintball together.
They do.
Carpooling buddies. The fishing hole.
You thinking about swapping with Joe?
No. Hey, he has no one to swap with.
That's right. He's a very lonely guy. You know, as I just pounded my thigh here, I remember one of the places I got hit. When I was kneeling down, behind one of those little pulley wheels,
mm-hmm.
and somebody, I guess my giant thigh was hanging out, and it got hit like five different times.
Your big ham hock.
My ham hock. You know, a big target. Big, you know, when it was like four layers of clothing on, you know, that didn't help matters very much, that's for sure.
Well, it was great. No doubt it was great,
it was
and
fun,
it was definitely better to win than to lose.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah, so we will have a wonderful payback with all of the salespeople today. I think in our next break, Robbie, we'll start the tape, because we actually have tape of the actual paintball battle.
Right.
Where you can hear guys getting hit with the paintballs.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually hear during the actual game.
Yeah.
We were all screaming at each other like we were really in a war.
Oh, sure.
Right. Except the problem is, none of us know the proper war terminology.
I thought we had good strategy, though. I thought we had very good strategy.
But,
I mean, we had a game plan.
We did, but once it started...
Pandemonium.
Yeah, I was trying to yell to you.
Oh, really?
And I don't know if this is on the tape or not. I think they were coming up on your flank. I ended up...
Wherever they were coming, they nailed me.
I'm just saying, hey, Mike! Turn to your left!
Did they... to my left? They were coming
to
up on
your
my
left.
Left side?
Yeah. Because I could see them peeling around your side, and you're right in the middle of the field.
Next time we do it, I want to do it like in an open area. I want to do it in a more open area because, I mean, I just couldn't see.
Right. I couldn't see anybody. I really couldn't in those trees. I couldn't. My vision just was totally obscured.
Did you get hit at all, Buzz?
I did get hit toward the end by a dead guy. Being at the flag post, all the guys who were being escorted off the field as dead were brought by the referees, and a live guy hit in with the group of referees and dead guys that were coming by.
Apparently that's the strategy.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's true or not, but it's...
It ain't fair.
It's not ethical. It's
right.
Just like somebody that maybe gets hit and dies and then comes back to life.
Right. Three times.
Right.
Did you get hit, Bobo? Did you get hit at all? You made it out unscathed?
No, I stayed far back. I did shoot my spike
in the real war, right?
Yeah, I did. Exactly. Well, he's like the guy in Saving Private Ryan.
Right.
Remember the guy who just hit inside that house but everybody's getting blown up?
Yeah, we have to throw his typewriter away and then he just lingers back behind the line.
It wasn't like a real war for me because there was no USO to join. But at the end of the, I just wanted to know what it felt like, so I shot my own boot.
Oh, did you?
I shot yourself. Well, no, I mean, it was all said and done, but I said, you know, I wanted to see what it was like, but I didn't want to feel pain.
Right, right.
So there is a snot-smattered boot on my back porch at home because I shot myself.
Imagine that. They're real, real tough, brave, heroic, fighting men on our team, and yet you saw no action, so you actually shot yourself in the foot.
I just shot myself in the foot after all was said and done, so I'm awaiting that Purple Heart.
There you go.
Nice. But it was fun. It was,
it
really
was
cool.
A great time.
It was, and we won, and the salespeople lost.
And they lost.
As if it was ever in doubt.
Not in any. The people, even if it had been in doubt, if it wasn't, the people would have made sure we won. We had the best equipment. We got the lowdown on the field. We got a chance to scope it out before they did. And then as soon as the salespeople arrived on the field, it's like, okay, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to admit, we did try to cheat a little bit.
Yeah.
You're supposed to stay in the general area of your flag.
Right.
And then they yell, go in 60 seconds. And we were already starting to peel out a little bit.
Yeah, in the real paintball, I think you're really supposed to stay inside that box.
Right.
That little flag-covered box that you're supposed to be in.
I think for the most part, we did it.
It was a rolling, kind of ambling, you know, as we were getting closer to our position.
I think they were doing the same thing. It's just that they didn't figure out to get the hill.
Yeah.
That if you capture the hill, you would win the game.
And if I played again, I wouldn't go to the center of the field where I went. The lowest point of the field and the center where I could be attacked from all angles.
Right? Do you know who really the MVP was?
Yeah.
Big Gum Jim.
Big Gum Jim?
You know that at one point, I believe we will hear this in the replay of the war.
Right.
When we had three or four guys that were going for the flag and they still had two or three guys that were up and shooting,
right.
Jim sacrificed himself and did a suicide mission.
Did he really?
Ran in and got shot like a million times so that guys could come in behind him.
Boy, what a brave soul.
And wipe out the other people.
Unbelievable.
Big Gum Jim, modern American hero.
I did a for my team. Randy Moss. Son, go back to the fort. There's only Buzz and Dennis back there. Go back to the fort. Go back.
Did Dennis squeeze off any rounds?
I didn't notice. He was on the other side of the flag station.
He looked like he'd had a little too much Friday night, in my opinion.
It looked to me like Dennis had been hit.
Yeah.
He did get hit. He did get hit, and...
He'd been hit when he got out of his car.
And you know who didn't show? Is that pussy Mike Rockhand.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
That's the one guy I think that everybody in our team was really gunning for, even more than General Hainline.
I paid so much attention to Rockhand that that's the first moment that I realized he was supposed to be there.
And he wasn't there. It wasn't until the very end when we were doing our little victory dance.
Right.
Somebody said, hey, where's Rockhand?
Where's Rockhand?
Faye didn't make it. Well, it was a great weekend again. Thanks to Pep's Paintball. We will hear that tape in just a moment.
And a rematch in the spring, I think, is in order.
Absolutely. Now, today we're going to be giving away, as I mentioned, a trip to Iceland.
All right.
We have a lot of people listening a chance to win that trip. We're giving away a trip every day this week to Iceland from IcelandAir.com. Each trip is worth over $5,000.
Wow!
So stay tuned. We are going to come up with a different way every day this week to give away these trips.
And just remember, Iceland is green. Greenland is icy.
That's right.
And as hot as in Iceland.
Yeah, Iceland has like the most beautiful women in the world.
Major league beautiful women in Iceland. Also, as I mentioned, Richard Simmons on today's show. Today we have to start qualifying women for the big hot tub show, which is 1 week from today.
Yes.
But we'll be giving away a hot tub that involves kissing Dennis Murphy. We'll talk about that in a couple of seconds.
Right.
And at some point, we got to figure out what the secret Santa Valentine's Day gift is going to be this year.
Mm-hmm.
Remember last year, we all drew straws to see who would have to give their wife or girlfriend the gigantic dildo.
Mm-hmm.
We have to come up with a gift this year that is worse, that is more offensive than a dildo. My first thought
was perhaps a tube of anal ease.
Ah, that could be good. That's better than the dildo, I think.
Yeah, because, you know, you can picture Buzz, and I imagine Buzz will lose again.
Yes.
Just that's how it works sometimes.
And, you know, if you really wanted to make it a good game, you know, if you give away the tube, whoever got the tube would have to use the tube.
Speak for yourself. Speak for yourself.
I knew that would give you the heebie-jeebies.
No way.
Yeah.
Actually, it was.
And record the whole thing.
Right.
Of course.
We were recording it also, the show. It was dumb luck that Buzz won last year, lost last year.
Right.
And at some point, we're going to have the drawing come up, whether it's analyze or something else,
mm-hmm.
a goofy gag gift that someone on this show will have to give their significant other.
I'm trying to think. It could be, you know, leather harness or something like that.
Well, think about it. I mean, we won't decide till tomorrow.
Okay.
Or maybe it could be a package of...
sex toys.
We could put together the anal ease, and if you wanted it to be some kind of a leather harness, and Buzz, maybe you could throw an idea in it.
Riding crop, or...
Robbie, you could throw an idea in it. Then whoever loses has to give all that stuff to their wife.
The sex gift basket.
And they have to record it, and then we hear it all on Valentine's Day.
We have recorded it also.
And I just wanted to mention one thing to Charlie Boyle. If he's listening in the other room, if there's any way that you could put a call into TV's Valerie Harper to get her on the air today, I got to talk to her.
Okay.
Because I've seen all the promos for this Mary and Rhoda show.
Yes.
And I know that we've had Valerie Harper on this show before, and we've told her time and time again that this whole concept of Mary and Rhoda at 60 is a mistake.
Well, it's not getting the best reviews in the world. As a matter of fact, Mr. Shales gave it one of his old-fashioned pans.
Yeah, and I saw Mary Tyler Moore on the Regis show today.
Mm-hmm.
And she's looking more and more like Skeletor.
Yeah.
I mean, she just is looking awful, and she showed a clip that looked awful. I want to speak to Valerie Harper and tell her that she still has 4 hours to cancel this show. She still has time to call ABC and say, listen,
man,
throw on a rerun of the Millionaire Show or whatever. Throw on a movie.
Yeah, it's just, you know.
Just don't do it.
You know what they're getting knocked for the most, and I understand why. They don't mention any of the characters that were on the Mary Tyler Moore show. I mean, they just totally ignore that. Like, they were the only ones that mattered, and I think that's wrong.
Well, the whole thing is a giant mistake. We told Valerie Harper that for a long time.
Yeah. The whole thing is just that look of dazed and confused.
Mary? Rhoda? What's going on? Aren't we cute? And Mary Tyler Moore is so goddamn frail. Do you know that when they were taping this show or filming it, did you hear about...
She tells the story about when she does her own stunt and breaks her hand.
She had to run down a New York street and jump over some kind of a blockade that they had, like to do street work.
And they had a stunt woman that was going to do it, and then Mary thought it looked too phony.
She had to jump over...
Mary. Mary, yes.
She had to jump over this thing to pick up a dog, and she... jumped over the street barricade and broke her wrist.
And it didn't look like that bad a fall.
No.
You know, but I mean, apparently, you know, shattered bone.
Well, you know, very, very fragile.
Extremely fragile.
Yes, that shows it's a giant mistake. And another, we had a falling out with Valerie Harper the last time she was on the show. And I think we maybe even have said that she's dead to us.
Yeah, well, we'll certainly be able to build that bridge by getting her on the show and telling her show sucks.
Well, no. I just want to reiterate. It's a mistake.
You can cancel the show.
It is a mistake, and she still has time. That's the beautiful thing. One well-placed call from Valerie Harper, the president of ABC, pull that show off the air.
Yeah, right.
Say, hi, it's Valerie Harper. Listen, I realize the show is a gigantic mistake.
You can't go on with the show. I'm Valerie Harper. Please put on a rerun.
I'm Valerie Harper. So let me know if you get Valerie Harper.
Put on a Whose Line Is It Anyway marathon.
Whatever. Whatever. Just take that show off. I look forward to a call from Valerie Harper today.
Will you be looking in on it tonight when that show comes on?
Yeah. Of course. I stop at car wrecks also, though. Toe tapping, touch tones, right there. Time for caller 100 and secret celebrity laugh number 3.
All right.
Oh, and you know what? We're going to start giving out real-life clues.
Yeah, because I have no idea who it is.
For the secret celebrity laugh. So we'll take caller 100 right now, and we'll start today's show with your chance to win up to 10 grand and give you the first clue to... crack the riddle.
Excellent.
A secret celebrity laugh number 3. And remind me when we come back, I want to tell you why all people who go to automated car washes should be shot. And specifically, those who go to the Exxon station in Cascades, Virginia.
Yes, sir. The Exxon in Cascades.
Yeah. I know it's my fault, you know, for... The weather's just getting better now, and I shouldn't be going to the cheapy car wash that you get for free when you fill up your car with gas, but I figure, why go to the real car wash? Because it's so crappy outside, the car will get crappy right away.
Right.
So I thought I'd plan this out perfectly. I left my house at 1 o'clock. I got to the gas station at 1:20. I got in line for the car wash at 1:25.
Right.
I figured, worst case scenario, I'm sitting in line for 20 minutes. No problem. I sat in line for 45 minutes.
Oh!
And it was a line that you couldn't get out of.
That's like being in the drive-thru for a fast food place, right?
Crap, that's absolutely it. Because they barricade you in on both sides. There are
concrete.
There are curbs on both sides.
Right.
And you can't back up because there's like 22 cars behind me.
Right.
Eight cars in front of me. Finally, when I get up towards the front and it's going to be my turn, I can actually see the car wash itself. I'm free from the front. This stupid bitch. She punches in her code, and the thing doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
So rather than move your car through and figure out what's going on, or ask for the guy to come over and help, she sits there like a dumb bunny
mm-hmm.
for 5 minutes and just looks at this thing. She just looks at that. You know, it's got like a touch tone on it.
Right? Yeah, and it's that technology that screwed the other guy up, too.
Yeah, but the technology is not that tough. So I got out of my car.
Right.
I was two cars behind her, and nobody's doing anything.
Right,
all these
of course.
People, all of us who have collectively been sitting for 40 minutes to get a free two-minute car wash.
Well, she noodles it through.
I finally got out of my car, and I walked up, and I said, hi. I said, I can't help but notice that you've not been able to make this work. I bet I know how. I noticed that after you pushed your numbers in, you didn't push the enter key. And she said, it doesn't say that. I said, I go to this car wash all the time. I said, give me your code. I'll punch it in for you. And at that point, the window goes up.
Oh, really?
Right?
Man.
Like I'm some kind of a mad stalker.
Right?
So I'm standing outside the girl's car, and I'm going, if you just give me a code, I will key in the numbers. You key them in and push enter, and it'll work. And then I see from inside the car, she goes, I'm on the phone right now. Get away from my car. Get away from the car. I go, all right. Yeah, I throw my hands up in the air like this, and I go walk back to my car. The dumb bunny sits there.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it getting your free car wash.
You know what? There was no way to get out of it.
I know.
I couldn't back out.
Right.
I couldn't go through.
So is the woman planning on doing anything at this point?
The woman called inside to the gas station.
With her cell phone?
With her cell phone.
Oh, that's the lazy move of the decade.
The guy comes out, window goes down just a crack, and I see the byplay. I see the interaction. She's talking to her.
Right.
Finally, the window comes down just a little crack, and the slip that you get at the gas pump comes out, and it gets passed through. And I see the guy punch in, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, enter. And the green light goes on. Right? It's like, you dumb bitch.
Oh!
You really don't know. You know, it's not...
Did she make it in okay and get out of there okay?
No, and of course she got in, and she couldn't get her tire so that the thing said stop or enter.
Right.
And, of course, she couldn't just get the regular wash. She had to buy the maximum wash.
It's a horrible car wash, though, isn't it?
They're awful.
The quality does... I mean, it hardly gets your car clean at all.
They're awful, but my car was so filthy.
Yeah, you're just getting the surface crap off.
Yeah, I just thought, I got to do something about it. I just feel awful. It was 45 minutes sitting in line. And
you came in. You know, when you came into the office today, it's one of the funniest entrances I've ever seen. Because I saw you, and I see you coming down the hallway, and I'm like, hello, and you're like, you gave me a nice hello, and then it's like,
F, I'm pissed because, you know, I'm obeying all local safety laws to get here to work on time, but I'm cutting it close. I didn't get to work till 2:45 today, and as I turn the corner into the radio station, Donna's husband is parked. He's parked in the driveway talking to some guy who's working on the air conditioning and heating unit here.
He just loves to come into that parking lot.
So he gives me a look like, what?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the guy is in his car.
Sure.
Blocking the driveway.
Resenting the last time that we parked him in. You know, he had the dog in the back of the car.
So I give him the sign like, you got to back up. I gotta get in here.
Right.
I gotta get to my parking place. So what does the Duke do? He backs his car in and then... backs his car right by where I'm going to park.
Right.
And I like backing my car in.
We all do.
To the parking spot.
Right. We all do because we're going to be here a while. We
and
work here. Those are
our spaces.
And
frankly, I'm a touch superstitious.
Mm-hmm.
But I like parking my car in the same spot the same way
sure.
every day.
I do too. I think both of us do.
And
of course.
As this guy
back into the parking garage.
He doesn't give you room to maneuver so you can back into your parking
right.
space. I understand that. You're ready for your work day. It's the beginning of the week. You don't want somebody screwing with it. It's like when somebody parks in the space. You just want your routine to be non-disrupted.
So he was just sitting there. He was parked like in front of the guy's car from Advantage Title, okay? He had to move back about 10 more feet so I could pull up and back into my spot. And he was giving me this like, go ahead, just pull in. And I'm giving him a look and says, no, you move back.
You need the extra room so you can pull forward and back into
yeah.
the space.
Right? You move
as
back.
As we all do. We need a lot of room in there to do that.
So finally, he wises up.
Right.
He moves the car back. He gives me a look that's yeah. like,
rolls his eyes. Well, now you're keeping him from, you know, like, going home watching Hogan's Heroes.
No, he didn't go home. This is the thing. The guy didn't go home. So he backs up. I get my car in there. I give him a wave like this. He's trouble. You know that? He's just trouble. I mean, he's always been trouble. He always will be trouble. And we've always said he's trouble. He gives me a look like, okay, asshole. You know, I mean, he doesn't say it. It's not spoken, but I know it. So I back my car in. He drives by. I go up to the office. I say hi to Mike. I start venting about this thing with a car wash. I say to Mike, Mark. Look at him. He went right back to the same spot,
right.
blocking the road.
Yeah, I mean, sitting there parked there. For anybody that's coming into the parking lot, there is only one car length, one car width that you can get by.
Right.
He is effectively preventing anyone. So the next time somebody pulls into that parking lot, he's going to have to do the whole routine again. Instead of, if he wanted to talk to somebody,
why didn't he just park his car?
Right.
And get out of his car.
See what he usually does. Park it in somebody else's space that's not assigned to him.
But I guess that's how it goes.
God, he's trouble.
That's how it goes. You got nothing better to do than
right.
talk to the air conditioning guys.
Ah, he's a pisser. He is indeed. And he knows it, and he's difficult, and he is always just in the way. And there's no other spouse, never has been other any other spouse, that lingers, that hangs out here, that makes this the home away from home like
a lot
he does.
A lot of you guys listening will recognize this guy. We haven't identified him by name. I don't know his name. He's the husband of the nice British lady who works here. He's the husband who used to just come lounge in the lobby
right.
from 3 until 5 o'clock every day waiting for his wife to get done with work.
He's the one he used to bother us doing that, too, because he was just there. He was just out there. Now he's moved into another realm.
Into our parking lot.
He can F with our parking every day.
Please. I mean, you want to have a cup of coffee with the guy from the air conditioning place? I'm glad you have a friend.
This is the same guy we should mention that came in right after the snowstorm and took two parking spaces, which happened to be Buzzer's and mine, and then Rob and I decided we would park him in, and he actually went over the curb and freed himself from that dilemma.
Right.
Same guy, same dude.
You know, if I hadn't been through all this crap at the car wash,
right.
I probably would not have reacted so hot-headedly.
Right.
But it's just like, you know,
first day of the week,
I
right.
come around the corner, and it's like, wait, I can't even pull into my own building.
Right.
And then I say, oh, it's Donna's husband.
Sure.
It's Donna's husband, the great loafer. Who's just sitting there, and the guy from the air conditioning company, he's draped on the other side of this guy's car. I go, yeah, so how are you doing, buddy? What's happening? You know, imagine having a conversation like, oh, look, I bet he wants to get in here. Tough for him.
Yeah, exactly.
So, did you see the Pro Bowl yesterday?
Yeah,
quite a game.
You know, it'll be better around here, you know, when the buds are bursting, birds are singing, you know, when the weather, but right now, it's crappy. I mean, there's snow, there's ice everywhere. It's crappy in this parking lot, and everybody likes to have their little routine, and don't mess with it.
And I ran out of window washer fluid.
I've got some for you if you need some.
On the way in.
I've got extra.
Thank you.
I'm one of those people that buys out the washer
fluid. I need to fill it up because as soon as I got my car washed, as soon as I got out on the road,
right.
when I was busting ass to get here, of course, some car went through a puddle and immediately sprayed my car.
When you need it the most.
So
right
I
now.
Go to the... And it's at that point, the little light comes on that says, you have one message. Oh, I've never seen this in my car.
It's like one of those electronics.
Yeah. I push the button and it says, fill windshield washer. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben and Dempsey.
Thank you, Mr. Fall.
But don't let me know when it'll be, you know, 10 minutes before I say
yeah, right. But no, not today.
Yeah, I bought a bunch of that stuff.
Well, good. I'll
feel really good about that.
I'll take the jug off your hand.
I'm pretty sure that I have a jug in the back of my truck.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I do. I have the jug.
I thank you for that.
Yeah. I'm proud of that. I'm very proud of that.
Like, you're one of the reasons every time that I go into 7-Eleven, I can never find them.
I know.
They're always gone.
And this is the time when you need them more. Now, when it's snowy or icy, this is, you know, it's all that melting.
Yeah, it was like 50 degrees today. Okay. Well, listen, I don't have to tell you this after the break because I've already told you this now.
Okay.
Thank you for this time. You know, this is more beneficial than Tony Soprano going to see his psychiatrist.
It's therapy.
I swear to God it is. And about the Sopranos stuff. Didn't you think that was a bad episode last night?
The worst, yes.
That was a very boring episode of the Sopranos. No action at all.
You know, what's happening? They're getting happy. That's the problem. They're getting happy. Mm-hmm. They're starting to expand. They're starting to bring in more characters. They're starting to bring in, you know, different location shots. No, they don't need that. Keep it in New York. Keep the relationship with the mother. You know, have some guy maybe get whacked every week, and you got the formula.
I don't mind that they went to Italy.
I didn't like it.
That's fine. Go to Italy. You know, get the long guy with the ponytail, the big
right.
Tony's new right-hand guy. That's fine. I didn't mind that, but I didn't need the travel log.
Yeah.
You know, when they're driving around Italy and all the downtown shots with Paulie Walnuts who couldn't find any guy to be nice to him.
And if you're going to show the beautiful lady that's the daughter of a mafia don, I mean, you know, where's the payoff?
Come on.
Christ, where's the payoff?
You're taking
the
shirt off at least once.
At some point. You know, and as far as believability, you know, the one point where she goes, do you want to F me? You know, and at that point, and Tony says, no.
I don't eat where I am.
No way. Tony, you know, this is Bada Bing Boy. You
right.
know, this is the come on.
Right. Although it was good when Pussy killed the Elvis impersonator.
Yes, yes.
That was a good moment.
That was a good
that
moment.
That was maybe the one highlight of The Sopranos last night.
That was good. That whole little subplot I find fascinating because he's an informant for the, you know, for the authorities.
And how about that Meadows ass, huh?
No, it's getting bigger.
Is she gigantic? Is she got the biggest ass on HBO?
Huge. And you know Anthony Jr. No Anthony Jr. last night.
Correct. No right. Anthony Jr.
No little Anthony
no
Jr.
No Mama Soprano. No Mom. No Jr. last night.
No. No, right. Not right. Not fair.
Okay. Listen, time out. Call her 100. Call her 100. You call up and you know what we'll say? Who are you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Call her 100. You get a shot of money right now.
This is with their hearts full of love and their throats full of phlegm. John and Mike.
Thank you, Dude Walker. Just got to call her 100 right now. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
Howard.
Where are you from, Howard?
Springfield.
Virginia?
Yes, sir.
How old are you, Howie?
38.
38, a very young sounding 38.
Thank you.
What do you do, sir?
I'm a waiter.
Happening career, where do you wait?
Sweetwater Tavern.
Oh, nice restaurant.
Thank you.
Very nice restaurant. Rob's applauding you.
Are you really 38?
Yes, I am.
You know why I know he's 38?
Why?
Because when I said, you know, you sound like you sound very young for 38, and he said, thank you. Right. That's an automatic response when somebody's that old.
Gotcha. Caller 100, you've won the Runaway Bride prize pack. Now available at Blockbuster Video. Rent the latest new releases, including Runaway Bride, Tarzan, An Ideal Husband, and Bowfinger. Your prize courtesy, Blockbuster Video. Now, you ready to go for the money?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we'll give you a clue, a real clue.
Ah, a clue.
As to the identity of Secret Celebrity Laugh number 3. And here's your clue. She is a major motion picture star.
Hmm.
That's the first clue. She's a major motion picture star. You will play for
$2,000. $2,000?
You ready to go for $2,000?
Yeah.
Now that you know that she is a major motion picture star, please don't answer until Mike sings like...
A very old man.
And we wish you a speed
caller. Name this secret celebrity laugh.
Here she is. All of her glory. A major motion picture actress. Tell us who that is singing, and you win $2,000.
Yes.
But for $2,000 American dollars, who is that?
Helen Hunt.
No!
Oh,
already been guessed.
Oh. Yep, already been guessed.
Thank you, my friend.
Oh, thank you.
Remember, almost always every guest is a clue for you. Line 5. Valerie?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Oh, wow. Let's talk now to the star of tonight's Mary and Rhoda, Valerie Harper. Hello, Valerie.
Hi, John and Mike. How are you guys?
We are wonderful. Wanted to wish you Godspeed on your project.
Thank you so much.
I just wanted to, now, every time we've had you on this show...
That's right.
We had a debate about whether you and Mary should get back together.
That's right. And what did I tell you?
A long time ago, we had that debate. And look, all this time has passed, and she went ahead and did it.
That's right.
Against your wishes, she went ahead and did it.
Yeah, I just want to say something. Valerie, you know I love you. I'm a huge fan of yours and Mary's.
Yes.
I just want to say, you still have time. You have time. You have time now.
Classic's going to be the classic, Mike. Am I talking to Mike?
No, you're talking to Don right now.
Don.
But Valerie.
Okay. I'm here too, Valerie.
I know you are, Don.
Okay.
But Don, I want to tell you, the classic cannot be besmirched. It is a classic. It will be that. Mary and I got to work together. That's what we wanted to do. And we'll see how it goes tonight. It certainly has been promoted to a fairly well. I don't think it can live up to all the promotion.
Now, did you break anything during the shooting of this?
No, I did not.
Yeah, all right, Mary
did.
Mary did.
Bones in her wrist.
Right.
All right, I just wanted to say that, you know, you've got so much going right now. You've got so much momentum. Mary has so much momentum. You have time to call ABC and say, put on a Die Hard movie tonight. You know, but if you feel confident in the material, and do you, because I have...
I'm confident in some of it.
I think it's a good script.
I think it gets serious in the second half. That's what I always said. But that's the movie that they wanted to do.
Oh, yeah, you had talked to us about that.
I think it's a little heavy.
Oh, that's right.
Mary's job. They picked a gang situation, a gang murder, in fact. So that's not too funny. But it is a two-hour movie, and maybe people will like it. The truth is that they can't expect to see the half-hour comedy that everybody saw. And I think people are going to be, will be doing that. You know what I mean?
So you're happy you did it, but I think I remember from the last time we saw you. You kind of, you wish maybe the script would have been a little different, right?
No, I don't wish. Well, I do. I'm just interested to see how people react to it. It's very different, but they do get to see the two characters reunite where they've been, and their lives haven't been a bed of roses, but nor has it been horrible. It's been kind of like, you know, a lot of our lives.
Now, a lot of people are going to watch this. I think it's going to be an audience.
You'll get a huge number tonight.
There's no doubt about that. And if you do get the big rating, will this be it?
This will be it.
Oh, you're not going to do another one?
Mary, lately, I've heard her saying publicly the last 3 weeks that she didn't want to go on with the series, and that's fine. I'll play Rhoda, you know, again if it comes up, happily. But she seems to want to just, you know, this Mary and Rhoda situation. I think she's glad we did the movie, but now she wants to move on.
Well, you know what, then? I will give you my official blessing.
All right.
I will give you a blessing, because if it's a one-shot deal,
mm-hmm.
just one time.
Yeah, just to feed the fans, you know, everybody that grew up watching you guys.
That's kind of what we're doing. We don't have plans to go forward.
Okay, can I ask you, I have not seen it. I've only read I read the stuff in TV Guide.
Sure.
And I read the stuff in the newspapers. How come you guys didn't even mention, Lou Grant or...
Because Mary had in her mind to do the reuniting of these two human beings, Rhoda and Mary, but not do a, quote, reunion show where everybody comes back. She wanted to do a movie about these women at this time in their life, develop the relationships with the daughters, and you only have so much time.
Mm.
So I think she was feeling of where are they now and where are they moving on from here. She didn't really want to do a reunion show that's all nostalgia and looking back. We did one of those, by the way, guys. We did do a Mary Tyler Moore reunion of all the actors sitting around chatting, and that was about, it would be our 20th anniversary. Yeah, that was about 6 years ago.
Okay. That was just like a retrospective, right?
Yeah, it was, and we were all there except Ted, of course, who had just passed on, and we spoke of him, but all the other actors were there, and they showed film clips, and it was a reunion. This is a movie about these two people who haven't spoken to each other for about 15 years, and they're getting back together.
Are you surprised that this thing has generated the interest?
I'm amazed that people, but it meant a lot to people, those shows, and the show stayed on the air, you guys, you know, so people continued to watch the reruns, and they're very well written, the original shows,
yeah.
Both Mary and Rhoda, and I think people want to know where the girls are, the women, the old dolls, and here we are, and it's important, women of a certain age, it ain't over till it's over, no matter what the press tells you.
All right, well, good luck. Is there a scene where Rhoda Morgenstern gets sick poops from eating too much Olestra?
No.
I just remember the last time you were on the show.
Yeah, a little bit.
What was that?
She turns into Ida Morgenstern a little bit.
And her mom?
Oh, yes. She wants to make the daughter's bed in the dormitory.
Oh, really?
It's sad.
That was a great show.
That's what happens.
Was that Nancy Walker?
Nancy Walker.
Oh, wonderful Nancy Walker, yeah.
All right, well, listen, Valerie, best of luck. Just remember, unless you're 100% secure in this,
you could still make the call to tell them to run, you know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
But you're giving her your bus.
Yeah. Tell them John and Mike told me. Warned me.
I'm worried about
your legacy. Reviews are coming out this way and that. Some like it, some don't. Some say it would have been better to have the old sitcom writers. But the truth is, this is not a sitcom. It's a two-hour movie. So I hope people just tune in out of curiosity.
All right, baby. I'm just worried about your legacy. That's all.
Don't worry. My legacy is safe with the other shows. They'll just say, oh, those ladies shouldn't have done it. Or, you know, now I'm working on another project with ABC that came from this. So it's very good.
Laurie, well, good. Watch it. Valerie Churchill.
Yeah, that's right. The Pearl S. Buck thing. They want to do a movie on Pearl S. Buck's life. So that's good.
Well, you're so nice to come on with us on short notice.
I am delighted to come on with you guys. I really am. When I heard it was you, I said, you know, to my secretary, we can do it. And I wanted to do it.
Thank you. Good luck.
My last interview, it's kind of prophetic. Because you warned me, especially you, Mikey.
Don.
No, Don did.
Was it Don?
Yeah, Don did.
Don that said, don't do it, don't do it.
I was for it all the way, and I still am. I think it's a great idea.
Hey, listen, it's 2 hours. What's the big deal?
That's right. Absolutely.
All right, well, best.
And we had a ball doing it. I must tell you, we had a great, great time, Mary and I did.
Best of luck, Valerie Harper. The show is on tonight on the ABC Network at 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock Central. Thank you, Valerie.
Thanks, Mike. It's an hour earlier than usually the movies are. So thanks so much, you fellas.
Gotcha.
And I'll see you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I tried.
You did.
I tried.
She charms you in a way. There's something There's something there with her.
Oh, I'm a fan of her. Sure.
There is something there. There's something more than just a fan.
There's
older woman.
There's something there with every woman I come in contact with.
I know.
Who's on television?
I know it is. It's just like, when you turn around,
it's a great aphrodisiac.
You turn towards the dinger and said, I give it my blessing. I need to see it once again. She
is awfully, you know. Even though she's like Jill Theismann in the way you ask her questions, she gives you an answer.
20-minute answer.
But I'll tell you right now, she is a very nice person. She's always been nice to us. And
sounds like she knows that there's a very big chance that it's a very big piece of crap.
I think she said, and now I remember because the first time we were talking about it, that she wasn't all that, you know, thrilled with the direction it was going in. And I read between the lines a little bit there. As far as creatively, I don't know how
she's
much...
She's putting it on Mary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, putting a little bit of it on Mary.
It's what Mary wanted
Good
to
move.
Do.
Mary wanted to do it. Mary broke her hand. I didn't.
I'm young and vibrant.
But I'll look forward to that Pearl S. Buck project.
Oh, yeah. Lordy.
Absolutely.
You're all for that, too, aren't you?
I am, because I'm her biggest supporter.
Well, there's Valerie Harper. You know, it's not too late to make that call.
You know what would make that show sing? That one that's on tonight, Joe. Bring back her husband, Joe.
I hated Joe when she got Joe married. Sucks. When she got married, that ruined the show.
How about bring the doorman in?
Carlton,
your doorman.
Carlton. Music.
Thank you, Rob.
He is Rob.
Thank you, Brain. And thank you, Valerie Harper. We have to do a break. When we come back, we'll listen to us playing Who Paintball. More shows coming right.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
Down the garbage.
Honey, why do we have a garbage? We go through this argument every morning. You put a camera in our house 6:15 in the morning. I come down. I grind up my coffee.
Let me ask you something else. Can you just carry your Coke can to the recycler? Is that too much to ask?
What do I do? What do I leave them in the sink?
You leave
what
them
I
in
do?
The
what do I do? Listen, this is our big problem. In the morning, when I make coffee,
yes,
I grind it. We have a grinder. I grind up the beans.
Right.
And make the espresso, the coffee.
Right.
Then you've got what in essence is...
And you're not even telling the full story, which I won't even get into because I have been in a good mood. But just to give you an example, you have to put your ground up beans in the thing on the espresso machine that's like a little tiny cup, like a little sake cup or a little teacup kind of deal.
Right.
And then you... And so you scatter them everywhere, and then you very neatly brush them off onto the floor, which...
Well, the dogs eat them.
The dogs don't
That's
eat
the great coffee. Thing. That's why the dogs are so hyper. They're not having dogs.
I sweep them up.
Listen, when I get done making my coffee in the morning, I have, in essence, something that is the size of a urinal cake.
Yeah.
And it is the coffee. When it comes out of the filter thing.
The day before. The grounds from the day before that are all packed.
Is it a little thing that's in a piece of paper and it's kind of...
No.
His isn't in a piece of paper.
It's like a ice cream scoop.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Gizmo that you put underneath the cappuccino machine. So when I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is empty out the deposits from the previous day. And I tap it on the counter and out comes this perfectly formed, size of a urinal cake, thing of coffee.
And you do it into the sink?
And I put it in the sink, and I turn on the garbage disposal. And every single morning she comes out, she says, don't do that. Just put that in the garbage.
What?
And I said, well, why do we have a garbage disposal if I can't put garbage down the garbage disposal?
You know, when you're on septic and have a septic tank, you're really not supposed to put a lot of stuff in the garbage disposal. I don't know why they put it there, just for emergencies, I guess, because you're not supposed to.
I don't say that very often, but I have to say she's right.
Yes,
we've had a lot of problems because of the food that we put, you know, the stuff that we put in the disposal just doesn't, and sometimes you get a drain clog because it just doesn't, even if it's ground up, it still doesn't account for, residue being
I put
down.
Everything down the garbage disposal.
I used to.
George Foreman cooker, which makes like a gallon of grease.
Oh, listen, that thing is fantastic.
And you pour that down the sink.
Yes! I pour the grease down the sink, down the garbage disposal.
As much TV as you watch, haven't you ever seen commercials for Drano or Roto-Rooter or any of those things? You're not, you're draining.
Oh, listen, here's what she wants me to do. This is gross. Okay. Anybody that has the George Foreman cooker, the thing that cooks your meat on a slant.
Yeah, Rob got that for me for Christmas.
Right. And it drains off all the fat.
Right.
Well, I use that thing every day.
Okay.
Because I eat the same food at the same time
right.
every day.
Mm-hmm.
When you get done with this, that little tray on the bottom is full of all of the fat
yeah.
that's been drained out.
Yeah.
What my wife wants me to do,
yeah.
she wants me to take like a Campbell's soup can, pour it in there.
Which I've already started and have in the freezer.
And put this Campbell's soup can in the freezer.
So we can throw it in the trash.
When I go to open the freezer, there's like cans of frozen fat
right.
in there.
Well, why don't you just pour the grease into the trash bag?
I'd rather just pour it down the sink.
Ugh, I mean, it sounds like it'd be very, if it leaked, it'd be a horrible mess. And plus, if it's hot, it will burn through the trash bag.
The best thing is if you get a coffee can, because it'll have a plastic lid on it, and that's the best thing. Of course, you don't want to use your drippings, but if you want to save drippings.
There's Julia Child over here. Yeah.
It's great.
Now, Rob saves his drippings, but not to be thrown out.
It's Rob, great on crackers.
But, you know, we're much too cheeky to use coffee from a can.
Well, you can then buy a can of coffee and throw out the coffee, but a coffee can is perfect.
Use an old
Coffee,
and then do the coffee, and then use the can.
All right, honey.
Although, you know what, I'll give my wife credit. She was helpful this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We had my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, and all their kids came over on Saturday night
right.
for dinner, and then we watched TV. It was a real nice night. The nephews came over, the twins.
Right.
And I said to her, you know what I want to do? You know, I'm on the serious martini kick. I said, I want to make martinis for everybody.
Gin or vodka martinis?
Vodka martinis.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I went to Hex. I won't tell you what a nightmare it was, just trying to buy 6 martini glasses at Hex.
You were right. Very brave to go to Hex. I had to call ahead and make sure and find out where they were and make sure they had them and where to send you.
Well, you know, I generally don't like shopping, and I hate going into a store where all old women behind the counter who want to. If I had not known that they had what I wanted there, I would have been trapped in a maze.
They've got so much merchandise in that store.
When I first walked in, I said, I'm looking for martini glasses. And she said, right to your left. I looked at the sign. One martini glass?
$40.
$40? For one glass. I said, do you have anything a little more reasonable? She said, well, we do have some sale items.
Well, he was looking at crystal.
Well, that's the only one that they had out.
It's still pretty expensive for crystal.
He was looking at Waterford.
She says, well, there are some on sale items against the wall. And I went against the wall, and they were like martini glasses, like $5 each.
We won the plastic kind.
So I said, give me some of those. So we got home, and I said to my wife, I said, great. Now, all I need to know is, how do you make a martini?
It's easy.
Because I didn't know. My wife, we have a book that we've had for 20 years.
Right.
I know this sounds gay, but I looked it up in the book about how to make a martini. Now, the only thing I didn't have was a shaker.
Okay.
So you know what
That's
I use?
Important.
I use my coffee travel mug. I have a stainless steel travel mug.
It's got a little hole at the top, and you can just cover that with your finger
right.
or with the plastic thing that covers up the mug.
And what I did was I poured in the correct amount of vodka.
Be honest, that might work even better than a strainer.
We kept the vodka in the freezer to keep it cold. The vodka, the vermouth. Shake it up, and I mean, Rob, the martinis I made were just as delicious as the ones we had at the park.
Were they that good?
Yeah, oh, they were fantastic.
Technically, what you need is a martini pitcher, because a martini, since it has no non-alcoholic drink in it, it should not be shaken. It should be stirred, which is why it's weird when
James Bond.
Yeah, shaken, not stirred. That's sort of like a wacky thing to do.
Well, Grandma has one she's not using anymore from the 1950s, she said she'll give us.
It'd be perfect.
I'm just surprised your mom would have something to do with alcohol.
Sitting around the house.
That's a big surprise.
You know, it's weird when you
when you recount the trauma of your youth and the story that you always tell is about your mother preparing the martinis for your father
every
right?
night.
Right. You're kind of turning into your father.
Oh, Jesus.
By having a martini every evening.
No, I had a martini on Saturday night. And I had a martini last night.
Well, I just
really?
Think because embarrassing situations forced you to give up Sambuca, which you called rocket fuel. Why you have to find something that's equally as potent?
Oh, and I want to tell you, by about 10 o'clock on Saturday night,
yes,
I was bombed. I had one martini.
Not like there's a mixer in there, you know? It's nothing to water it down.
I had one martini before dinner. Then we went downstairs to watch that Pierce Brosnan movie where Rene Russo takes her top off.
Oh, yes, yes.
Thomas Crown. The Thomas Crown. And about halfway through, I said, you know what? Said to my brother-in-law, how would you like another one? And he said, what the heck? So I went up and I missed another batch of them.
Did you make them extra double string?
I did. I came downstairs. I had about 9:15. Virtually passed out on the couch. And by 10 o'clock,
out.
I said to my sister-in-law, brother-in-law, listen, I'm going to bed. Good night.
Good.
I can't handle this.
Good that you weren't operating any heavy machinery.
No, certainly not.
Certainly not.
And then you made one last night.
Yeah.
For no reason. Oh. Just
for no reason. There was a football game
in your
last
little
night.
Room by yourself drinking your martinis.
Yeah.
It's kind of scaring Bart and me.
Oh, come on.
Hey, don't worry. My family's used to it.
And certainly you, honey, you certainly grew up knowing that feeling.
I want to duplicate everything.
On Saturday night, as I was making these martinis, we were having discussions about how collectively pretty much all of our parents are alcoholics.
Oh! We were discussing is the way parents of our generation would always have a drink in their hand driving to the country club or wherever they went. It was, you know,
it was a generational
time.
Thing. It was a different era back then.
Yeah.
We don't drink the way our parents do. I mean, you know, or did. And
I'm trying.
It was something where, you know, if you do the deal where you come home every evening and have a martini,
my mom,
every night of the week, that'll be similar to the way my parents used to.
My mom had a routine. She had to make a martini,
right.
And when my dad came through the door, you couldn't say a word to him until he had his martini.
Did she join him in the martini?
She had one before he got home.
Okay.
And then, after my dad had the first martini, my mom had the second one chilling in the freezer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it wasn't until dad dipped into the second one that you could start talking to him.
Okay.
Your parents had a reason for drinking martinis.
Oh, I know. So do I. I just love life.
No, your parents lived with each other. I mean, anyone who lived in that household, I'm surprised the kids weren't drinking martinis.
Well,
you have a reason. You have a
pause in
home.
It took me 40 years to start.
Oh, man.
I'm thinking about having one tonight when I go home.
Do you know what's amazing, though? It's just with more information about different things, I think that we are probably, to a certain extent, even more uptight than our parents were because of all the Surgeon General stuff. And you know, my parents were smokers, were cigarette smokers, and it's back before they had started, before they had any information about this.
Yeah.
And I remember my sister and I walked into this restaurant one time, and we said, can we get a non-smoking table? And I said, well, whatever you have available. And I said, can we get a non-smoking table? And she said, don't you remember those trips to Maine in the back of the car when they had the windows rolled up? And she's right. I mean, it's just a different era, you know, when people were healthy lifestyles weren't always, you know, the thing that everybody thought.
Well, honey, have that one ready for me tonight when I walk through the door.
You're dreaming, my boo-boo.
Nice big martini. My new big martini glasses.
You know, the only reason I know that you won't be doing this regularly is because it calls for two ingredients that you will have to go and replenish yourself. And
that's right.
Yeah.
But until I run out of vodka and vermouth and olives.
You're set for a couple. Oh, yeah, three ingredients.
Right.
So
do you love olives?
This will get to have it because you won't do that.
You're a martini drinker if you love olives.
I love olives.
That's part of the equation.
Put four olives in my martini.
That's good.
Four big onion olives.
Oh, gross. I hate olives.
Oh, they're great.
Doesn't it sound like a good thing to kiss a cigar-smoking, onion-olive, martini-drinking man? Oh, yum.
Yes, sirree.
I could not have been happier yesterday. My wife and my son were up there.
Just add some garlic to that mixture.
He was doing his homework, and she was downstairs wallpapering, and I was just sitting by myself,
drinking a martini,
having a martini and a cigar, and watching the football game.
I watched Leave It to Beaver marathon.
I did log some
with Daddy.
I did log some time with Leave It to Beaver.
Oh my God! If I heard that on one more half,
it was on 24 hours a day.
Ward Cleaver was the guy to enjoy a martini, I bet.
Yes,
June, I'm home. You know, did we ever see Ward Cleaver drink?
I think at the country club,
he'd have a cocktail.
Yeah, Warren would have a like a highball or something like that.
It was good times.
All right, love you, honey. Glad your mood is elevated.
All right, boo boo. And I did it naturally without martinis.
All right, well, get mine ready.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, goodbye. I can't believe you drank all weekend.
Just on Saturday and Sunday night.
Listen to me.
Just two martinis Saturday night, one martini on Sunday night.
I don't believe in drinking.
Yeah, you got bombed.
I'd just like to thank the band that I sat in with on Saturday night.
Winner.
I had to mention the band 28 South is the name of the band that I sat in with at a little restaurant in the Manassas.
For those of you ever dining with the O'Maras, that is the true sign that Mike is absolutely out of his mind when he insists on getting up and doing a set with the band.
And this was me insisting. This was not one of those just, hey, come on up there. This was me like asking three and four times. Until the very end of the evening when I sat down and played the drums.
What kind of music does this band play?
I don't remember. I know. Very good music. Very, very good. Pleasant music. It's very nice. And a nice little restaurant called Okra's that was some very nice people. And they were nice enough to let me sit down. And maybe I can say nice a few more times. And I said to my wife on Sunday morning, I said, so how was it? She says, oh, it was fine. And I'm like, oh, yes.
That's if you said that.
It was just fine as wine. Yeah, it was just, we were just going to drop in after we had dinner at another place. We were going to just drop in because we saw some people that we knew. And then the evening just got away from me, and it ended up with, is there a chance I can sit in? Is there just a chance I can sit in?
You got to have real balls
or be real drunk
mm-hmm. to go up to a band playing in a restaurant / bar.
I am blessed with both.
Actually, now, when you went up, did you announce yourself as Mike O'Mara disc jockey, or were you just some drunk guy from the crowd?
I didn't announce it. I don't think anybody announced it. I think I just sat in. I don't think anybody knew. I hope not. I mean, I know that there are always probably some people that knew that I did a radio show because I've been to this place, Shocker, many different times.
Oh, many times.
Kind of my regular hangout, right?
Gotcha.
And so I go in there, but I don't think so. I don't think they said anything. I don't like that. I like to get up and play the drums. I don't want to get up and be introduced as me, you know, doing the show.
So you mean,
I don't like that at all.
They would get done with a song, and you would just walk up to the stage and you say, hey, can I sit in?
Yeah, well, it's a small place, and they're kind of off to the corner of the bar, and I was just walking. I was talking to the guys throughout the evening, and then I was walking up to the drummer, and the drummer was saying, you better ask the owner, and I'm like, oh, come on. And then finally, you know, I think after I was so relentless with him that I just had the bug. I really wanted to, and I'm not talking about that bug I had 2 weeks ago, you know, where I was throwing up all the time. This is a real, I just had the urge. They were doing the kind of music, it was kind of like a little rhythm and blues stuff, and the drummer looked like he was having a real good time, and I you know, at the end, after it was last call, and after they were done, they did one more little thing, and I sat in with them. And the thing is, I can keep the rhythm okay, but it's like when I try to go out of my depth as far as doing things on the drums that I shouldn't be doing, like doing little rolls and riffs here, that's when I get confused. You know,
what was the song?
Just a little instrumental thing that we were doing. A guitar player did his little thing, bass player did his little thing, and there I was. And then we finished. We had a good
show. Jack Diamond.
Oh, that's the cruelest of all. I would never sing. Well, no, that's not true. I would sing.
No, I've seen you get up and sing.
Yeah, I would sing.
I've seen you do it.
That's right. Well, I'd like to thank everybody from, you know, the group 28 South, also known as O'Mara Alley.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's great. Hey, enjoyed singing with you. You guys are great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're coming and talking about how you write your own folk songs.
Yeah, I'll be opening at Nissan Pavilion, right next to the beer tent.
I know, Robbie, you got that that paintball safe?
Yeah.
All right, let me hear just a second of that before we go to break. It's on tape one or two? Tape number one. You know, we did beat the sales department in our paintball game on Saturday.
We smited them. We pounced on them heavily.
And we did bring a tape recorder, and we will now listen to some highlights of our fantastic victory over the sales staff at Pev's Paintball in Woodbridge, Virginia.
Sunrise on Saturday.
Here we go. Here's us getting set up.
Rob?
Yes?
We're here to kick ass.
Yes.
We're here to wipe out the other side. And we want to say, happy birthday, dear Jesus.
Is this tape running a little slow?
It gets better. I think I had a weird cassette. It's fine after this.
Happy birthday to you. Approximate time, 7:45. Approximate temperature, 32 degrees. And I think the snow is going to be a factor today.
Some of my lieutenants are here. Lieutenant Bart, we do have a plan. It involves angels. Explain.
Well, you cover me and gutter go. And me and Gerald will run ahead and you keep covering us.
All right, here's another one of my angels, Dennis Murphy.
Yeah.
Dennis, I want to tell you very specifically what your job is today. Stand in front of us so we don't get killed.
Okay. I'm the first one we shot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also here is Private Charles Stossel.
General.
Did you call that girl last night?
Yes, I did.
When are you seeing her?
Sunday.
Sunday, good man. Good man. Good man, Private. Good man, Private Stossel. And, of course, Captain O'Mara.
There will be a magic show at 0800. You will be prepared to take the field, and you will shoot whatever salesperson you see. You are here to kill salespeople. Salespeople are not your friends. You should make them die. The only good salesperson is a dead salesperson. Do I make myself clear?
Well, yes, sir!
Thank you very much. And Rob, oh, is that David Hainline yelling, you're going down?
Yeah, yes. Let me hear that again. Go ahead.
Correct. Thank God we beat them.
Yes, sir!
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And
Rob, oh, F you, Hainline. Rob, would you please go interview some of the, I'm amazed, how many of the great unwashed are here this morning to watch us. If you would go interview.
Go interview the untouchable.
Go interview some of the people who are here to watch and the people with the banners. And then on to the fight.
You got it.
All right, so now you're going to hear Rob actually go out into the crowd.
Right.
There was, I don't know, 50, 75, 100 people by the time we were done.
Yeah, we want to thank everybody that came out to Pev's Paintball.
Actually came to watch us play. I was amazed. There were so many people that were there. I really was.
Right.
Rob, interviewing some of the kind-hearted folk who got up at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Thank you.
Hey, when I would estimate the fan base here today at about 25 to 30 people so far, but only one set of folk brought banners. And can you read me your banner, sir?
Sure. It says, team needs some help on our team. Loves Dynamite.
What?
Are you saying the Don and Mike team is the team that needs some help?
No, actually, we're the team that needs some help.
Are you? What sort of team are you?
Just a novice paintball team.
I see, and you're here to pick up some pointers?
Yeah, we're just here to root for Don and Mike.
Very good, and your name is?
My name is Blaine.
And your name is?
Carl.
Carl and Blaine, what time did you get here today?
Oh, about, what time did we get here? About 7, 7:30?
About 7.
And is it cold enough for you?
Oh, I'm shivering. I'm freezing.
And these youngsters, are they yours?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Michael.
And your name?
Blaine.
And are you excited to be here?
Uh-huh.
Who are you rooting for today?
What?
Don
and Mike.
Do you have any pointers for Don and Mike?
Took a shot.
The most excellent pointer. Well, thank you for coming out and cheer good and loud, all right?
We will.
You're not Linklater with those kids, Rob.
Rob Spiewak stars and kids say the darndest things.
All right, now, I don't know what we have coming up next.
Hello, fans.
Hello.
My goodness, you have a dog in your jacket. You know this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what's your name?
Gary Sexton.
And are you glad to be here? Is it cold enough for you? What time did you get here?
About 7:40.
And has it been worth it so far?
Yeah.
Any pointers for Don and Mike?
Kick their ass.
Okay. Are you related to this youngster?
Yeah.
The future of America? Are you related to him? What are your thoughts on such an exciting morning?
It's cold out here, and those paintballs are going to hurt.
What brings you out here today? What was the compelling need to be here for all this?
Oh, watch somebody get hit with a paintball. Plus, we deal with Pev anyway, so.
I see. Do you realize that at this point there are more lit cigarettes out here than there are competitors for the game?
This is the smoking section.
Oh, that's my fault. We're in the smoking section.
Right.
So, what would you have, if any, any advice for the Don and Mike team? Because you know they're going to win, right?
I hope they can run fast.
And that's your only advice?
Right.
Do you think the snow is a factor?
Yeah, they're going to do a lot of flipping and sliding up and through there.
Yes. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yes.
And here are Mr. and Mrs. Philip Morris over here. How are you today?
Very good.
Do you have any pointers for the Don and Mike team?
Annihilate the sales staff.
Do you have hatred for the sales staff?
I do.
And why is that?
Salespeople in general.
I agree with you.
It's good comment.
Give you the compelling need. What makes you feel you had to be out here this morning?
Just listening to them talk the whole week about it on the radio.
It's a happening, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's very good.
Love.
You feel the love?
Yeah.
You're in the wrong place. And you're with this man by choice, man?
Well, reluctantly.
Understood. Well, enjoy that cigarette and try to keep warm. What's your name, sir?
Rick.
Rick, what brings you out here today?
Well, you're only like 2 blocks away from my house. So.
Lucky you. What a nice neighborhood.
2 blocks from his house.
Well, he doesn't have to pay to get his house painted.
Name, sir?
Rick.
Rick, what brings you out here today?
Well, you're only like 2 blocks away from my house. So.
Lucky you. What a great location.
You just can't pick
a lot of people
color.
Want to be near Metro, but you're near Pez Paintball.
Yeah, I used to come out here all the time when I was in the Army. We used to have our little wars out here.
This is the real Army, and the real Army comes here for fun?
Yeah. When I was over here at Fort Belvoir, we come out here every so often just to shoot them up.
Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, what a great place to start. Any advice for the Don and Mike show since you are a vet?
Stay low, watch out for paintballs, kill Joe Rockhead, and that'll be about it.
Do you think the snow's a factor today?
A little bit, but up in those trees and everything, I don't think it's going to be too bad.
How about you, sir?
Just here to watch the carnage.
All these hillbillies.
Okay, I don't know that we're going to see any carnage. Are you rooting for the Don and Mike people or are these salespeople?
Is there any choice?
Really, no.
People.
All salespeople?
Yeah, for the most part.
Then do you have a personal message for David Hainline?
How about Jeff Hedges?
Not here. David Hainline is the captain of the team, so if you want to direct your hatred, you want to direct it to David Hainline.
Is this the guy who hates the salespeople?
Yeah, he hates salespeople.
He hates salespeople.
Yeah, good for him.
Why, dog?
Okay, that's the end of that segment. Charles Royal, can you walk us through the waiver form?
It's a nice form.
It's a nice form?
I don't need to hear Charlie Boyle being interviewed.
I don't need to hear that. With his walkie-talkie.
Charlie Boyle had the two-way radio clipped to his flight suit.
Sure, it's a spandex flight suit.
Robbie, time out. When we come back, let's go right to the pre-game.
All right.
Let's go right to the cussing.
Yes. Excellent.
Because we did have a bit of a pregame chat where once we started cussing,
we just couldn't stop.
We realized that there was a tape recorder there.
Right, and we just thought it would be fun to talk dirty on the tape.
Fun. And then Rob had to spend lots of time beeping out all that stuff.
Absolutely. And when's the magic show?
It's
0800, right?
So we'll have the cussing, then the early directions.
Yes.
A little friendly fire.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Ardinger names his gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sounds of battle.
Battle!
Coming next, our paintball game relived right here. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, you gentlemen, you're so smart, don't you?
Ladies, stay tuned for details on how you can win an 8-person luxury entertainment spa courtesy of Leisure Tub. 703-361-5260. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
I have the feeling you probably have the hang of it, Richard.
So this is the tape where Dave Letterman's talking to Richard Simmons about smoking a cigar.
No, wrong. You ain't said that to the old fancy movie stars coming out here.
Wow.
I just mean that a kid from New Orleans probably knows all about
it. I actually never really smoked. I mean, I love food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there was a spaghetti stain on your tie, I'd suck it off. No, I mean that. I love food. I never got into, cigars or any of that stuff.
Man, I'm dropping weight just thinking about that.
Yeah. We'll have Richard Simmons on in just a moment. Here's a time check. If you're listening to us in Anchorage, Alaska, it's almost 1 o'clock, and you're hearing our show every day on KADX, Extreme FM, at 94.7, all the way in Anchorage, Alaska.
Executive directors of the group home, Don and Mike.
All right, we'll get back to our paintball in a second. I think Richard Simmons is on the phone right now. Richard? Richard Simmons.
It's been a long time.
Hello, Richard.
Good afternoon.
Good
what
afternoon.
What are you two doing?
We are, we were just listening to a tape of us playing paintball on Saturday.
Oh, how are you all dressed?
No, we were dressed wearing camouflage.
Camouflage.
No, how are you dressed now?
Right now, we're not wearing anything.
No, we have on our short shirt.
No, come on, just tell me. Do you have one of your, like, affiliates? I mean, a little shirt with your, like, name on it? I mean, what do you have on?
We're wearing satin. There? We're wearing satin jackets with the Stinky logo
okay.
on it.
Okay, all right. That was it.
No, we're not.
No, Richard, of course
that
not.
Was it.
We are wearing short shorts like you wear.
And, see, no one really sees you.
And those
so you could
shirts.
Really be wearing just jeans and a T-shirt.
We're actually dressed.
Now, of course, I've gone to other radio stations where the people, they wear a tie and a shirt.
There's Richard Everett. He's been on this show before, but he's never been in here.
I don't
no,
think so.
No, I was not allowed in.
I don't think so. We look like slobs. Richard, the question is, what are you wearing right now?
What am I wearing right now? I just finished exercising, so I'm wearing a pair of black bicycle shorts
oh,
and a white T-shirt that has a New York token on it, on the front of it.
Really?
Yeah. Because I'm getting into New York mood. You know, remember 10 years ago they had those little commercials where they had those little dancing raisins and they had that Marvin Gaye song, Hershey's
yeah.
the Great
Barn? Sure, yeah, it was a huge hit, that commercial.
Huge hit. But, you know, the raisin didn't talk. And so that was like 10 years ago. So these people at the Raisin Council called and said, would you do these events for us and go to New York and L.A. and... We have a new character, a new grape,
this is what he's pushing.
A huge grapevine on Broadway. So I'm coming to New York.
What are you gonna be, the voice of the grape?
No. Did you just say the raisin doesn't talk?
Oh, the raisin doesn't talk at all.
Only to me, he tells me.
Charlie Broyhill, our producer, is bringing stuff in that might clear this.
I mean, don't you all?
We're very prepared. We're very prepared.
Let me ask a question. Now, don't look at any stuff right now. Do you eat raisins?
I eat raisins every day.
Yeah. I mean, as a child, did you have a mother who had, you know, the cereal with the raisins in it?
Yes.
Did you have a grandmother that baked little raisin oatmeal cookies?
Hey, were your shorts black before you started exercising today?
Oh, <God. laughs>
No, I'm talking about helping people get healthier.
Yes.
Talking about the raisins, and then you have to start about, why do you do that?
Richard, I promise I will
you
let
do
you
do it to me all the time, and then you say you're never going to do it again.
I will let you get your plug in. Will you tell me one thing seriously? Tell me one thing seriously.
My God, what was that sound?
When we saw, I guess, was it 2 or 3 years ago in Parade Magazine, when we saw that ad for Richard Simmons dolls?
Oh, yes, the doll collection.
Remember those dolls? Do you still sell those dolls?
I'm in 2,000 stores.
Oh, geez.
And
you are a corporate.
On QVC, and it's now turned into a very big company with... over 27 employees.
You're bigger than Martha Stewart.
I'm just about the same, except, you know, like, I don't, you know, Martha Stewart, she'll be walking down the street, and she'll go, oh, look, there's a dead bird. Let's make a hat. You know, I'm not like that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't do that.
But Richard,
what I love to do, and you both know it, and I've done it for 26 years now, is I love to give people hope. I love to make them laugh. I like to try to convince them to exercise, and I like to try to convince them to eat properly. Now, I'm going to ask you if you know what this is, okay? And just be serious for a second.
All right, we'll be serious.
Do you know what an antioxidant is?
Yeah.
I mean, it's been thrown around like ginseng and
antioxidants
and
what you
antioxidants,
get.
And this has antioxidants in it. Do you know what that word means?
No. It's what you
no,
would
serious,
get in the...
Because you both are intelligent people.
No, I'm not. Richard Mike is.
It's what
okay,
you,
never mind. Michael?
It's what you would get in a multivitamin. It's filled with antioxidants.
No, listen to what it is.
It's non...
Because most people don't know what it is, so I'm going to tell you what it is.
Okay,
right.
What is it,
okay?
Richard?
It's a substance found... in dried fruits, vegetables, and grains.
Like
okay?
Raisins!
Wait a minute, but hold it. This is very important because antioxidants, people don't know what it is, and they should know because they should know about their body. They got to know. So antioxidants get rid of colds. They help fight cancer. They have vitamins in them. They cleanse your body. They tighten your skin.
Have you had a nice
day? You only get it from this antioxidant that's in these certain... fruits, vegetables, and grains.
Do you have a nice BM?
Raisins are in the top.
Do you have a nice BM every day? Or do you have more than one a day?
Not, this is where we get, see,
that's
Richard go again.
No, Richard, I am
a regular person.
We're talking about health.
I'm asking you about health.
I eat my, and it's fiber. Do you eat your fiber?
Yes, God knows, yes.
I don't even know.
If you don't eat your fiber, you don't go to the bathroom. If you don't go to the bathroom, you could get sick.
Well, we're
all kind of backs up and get sick. You need the fiber. And tell me, what little cute little brown gem of God's has that in it? Raisins.
I thought you were talking about another... Cube brown gem.
You were talking about something
else. Little gem.
You know something?
It's one of God's little gems.
Mike is eating your raisins right now.
Seriously. I mean, we love raisins.
They're delicious.
All we are saying is give raisins a chance.
And they keep you regular. They do. Raisins are a wonderful source of fiber.
But I mean, they're great for kids. Isn't it better for your kids to really? Do you all eat 4 and 5 portions of fruit and vegetables a day? Absolutely not.
Of course not.
And you all you do is you read this stuff about high protein, low protein, high carbs, low carbs. But
oh, Christ, how do I get past all this stuff?
Where's the fiber? Where's the fruit?
I asked him about poops.
All those nutrients.
I asked him about his dog.
Where are they?
Ah, I'll ask him what happened to his TV show.
Tell me it's not true.
Hey, what happened to your TV show, Richard?
Well, I did 65 episodes.
Of The Dream?
And then I had to make a decision. I couldn't teach. I couldn't travel. I was in the studio 5 days a week. I missed it. I missed going to hospitals. I missed going to retirement communities and doing exercise classes. All that had to stop because of the show, because it was all-consuming like you. If you, you know, you two have that show, and that's a very all-consuming job.
Yes, that's why Mike and I don't have time to go to hospitals.
We tell people that all the time.
So we're just
too busy with our show.
Always bringing a little kind of a twist to it. The Alfred Hitchcock show when I call here. No, I just said I would do that, and I'm going to most probably come back and do a show once a week on a Sunday night.
You know what I think you should do, Richard?
Call Mr. Wish, because it was great. We gave away, 1,000 people got their wish.
You know what I think you should do, Richard?
What are you laughing about?
I'm just saying what
I think. Why is he laughing?
We're not trying to be laughing. I'm laughing because I'm watching him try to get a word in edgewise.
All right, you know what? No. I think I'll just keep quiet.
Oh, now, listen.
Go ahead.
You know what you should do? You should open up a chain of Richard Simmons restaurants that specialize in raisin dishes. What do you think of that? Is that a pretty good idea?
Okay, now he's not talking. Now he's not going to say that. Don't pout.
No, I wasn't pouting. I was just saying that,
What do you think about that?
I just think you have to offer a little bit more than raisins.
You can offer more than raisins.
Saying, hey, it's a start.
Have you ever, I'm sure you have been in your career.
The thing is, we have to teach kids how to eat properly because there's more overweight children now. There's more overweight teens. There's more overweight adults. I'm not talking about like in one or two states, guys. I'm talking about, do you know that the state of New York, the whole state, is the second fattest state in my hometown, pizza. New Orleans, being the first.
It's all that pizza they eat in New York.
What time did you have your first BM today? I'm asking you a valid health question.
We're just asking.
Let's regularity. What?
It's about regularity, and we're very concerned about that on this show.
Let me tell you, if you do my tapes and you eat raisins,
okay,
and you jump around on my tapes,
right,
and you just pluck those suckers in and eat those raisins with your cereal and your toast and your muffins and whatever you put it in, you will always be regular. Now, may we get off this toilet seat?
Okay, we can get off this toilet seat. It seems to me, though, Richard, that the toilet seat is essential to health. That's all I'm asking about is health.
It is.
And both our newsmen.
Bottom to this?
Well, I just want Oh, my God. Are you okay? Are you okay, Richard?
For me?
I just was wondering if you were all right. I was just checking.
Okay, I'm fine now.
I'm stuffing myself with raisins as this interview is going on.
So this is what you called to play. You didn't call because we haven't talked to you in like 5 or 6 years.
February 10th at Union Square Park at 17th and Broadway. I'm gonna at 11:30. I'm gonna do this big grapevine line with thousands of people, and I thought I would share it with your listeners.
Oh, that's why you called.
It is the only radio show that I did to talk about this. Now,
really,
I'm doing this, and then I fly in and do Regis and Kathy Lee, and that's the only two things I wanted to do.
When are you gonna be on the Regis show?
Wednesday.
Listen, I will strike you a deal. I promise.
What's the deal?
I promise you.
Wait a minute. Promise is a very serious word.
Yeah,
I want you to kind of flip that around like a tennis ball. Listen.
I don't. I don't, Richard. It's a serious...
I don't want you to be on your... Obviously, I want you... When you say promise, I want you to think of your family.
I will swear to you on my family life.
Oh, my God.
If you say, simply say, this is something that our friend Valerie Harper would not do for us.
She didn't do this, and we were very disappointed on the reason.
Valerie Harper has class. I've known her 20 years. I waited on that woman when I was a waiter, so I know Valerie.
All you got to do is just, when you sit out there and read, just say, hey, I want to say hi to my friends Don and Mike. You do that,
oh,
I promise.
Absolutely. So what would you want me to say?
I promise I will plug your California raisin.
What do you want me to say?
Just say hello to us.
If you said hello to us on the Regis and Kathy Lee show, we would be...
Oh, you mean on the Regis and Kathy Lee show and say...
And you said hello to
us? When I was calling Don and Mike, they said, the radio said they want to say hello.
Or just say, hey, Regis, I want to say hello to...
Don't you find that sort of a cheap backdoor way
Yes,
that's...
Why doesn't
everybody you want is too successful?
Why don't you just say the truth? Say,
talkers.
I know these two
radio
guys.
Radio people.
I know these two fat guys.
Oh, God, here we go.
And I don't mind if you mention us.
I bought a great fucked-up thing, and now you want it.
Listen, I'm just asking.
It's become a job interview.
I am just asking if there's any way you can say hello to us on Regis on Wednesday.
Richard, let me tell you, if you ever did that for us, you would have carte blanche on this show forever.
What's that going to do for you?
What?
What's that going to do for you?
We don't know, but one of these times when someone...
We're going to do nothing but your ego.
Yes, that's right.
We're thinking that one of these days...
You should be thinking about your family, your friends, your loved ones, not your ego right now.
We were thinking that if somebody does this for us...
You know what? You've made this a me society.
Yes, it's a me society. And we think if you did this, one of these times, someone's going to go on one of these national shows and say our names, and we're going to get a three-picture deal out of it. That's what we're thinking.
That's how it happens.
Be just like the road.
You're not actors. You're radio people.
Ah, you have not seen us on the hit CBS show, King of Queens.
That's right.
You?
We are actors. We are both members of the Screen Actors Guild.
I watch King of Queens.
Yes.
What do you play?
Did you see the episode where...
What was that episode?
You're acting like you're always on it.
Well,
any of you play a little bit part?
Yeah, we did one time, and we're going back.
Okay, well, go on. What else?
And we're going back.
What else have you done?
Babylon 5.
Briscoe County Jr.
You know, I can't go and make a fool of myself and ask them to get you jobs.
Don't get a job.
If you would have said something like Baywatch.
You just say, Richard, all you have to do is say to Regis, I want to say hi to Don and Mike.
And then, you know what this would be?
And they're going to go, who is Don and Mike?
Who cares?
Let me tell you. Wait a minute.
And then you get up and dance.
It'll turn into the where's Waldo? Who's Don and Mike?
Richard.
I'm there to talk about the raisins.
Richard, we're talking about raisins.
Who do you want to talk to about this raisin?
Richard,
Don and Mike,
please.
And Kathy Lee and Regis. That's what I said.
Richard, this would be the Richard Simmons show the next day. If you did that, this would be the Richard Simmons show.
It's become like a series.
You just let me talk for a second.
All we're asking is that at some moment at the interview, you just throw it in.
Right.
I want to say hello to Don.
And go, Don and Mike, I love you.
How's that? If you did that, Richard, you can come on the show Wednesday. You can promote your California raisins
anytime you want.
Every day.
Where are you now?
Where are we now?
We're in Washington, D.C., and we're on 55 cities across the country.
Really?
Yes. Didn't anybody tell you that?
Can you see the White House?
Yes, it's right across the street.
Yeah.
No, can you?
No,
of course not, Richard.
Can you see any of those beautiful monuments?
Richard, we have
you
a...
You know, I go there and I can't even deal with it.
We have a hair, skin, and nail salon across the street from our studios.
You live in Washington?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, the nation's capital.
Right.
The power
Isn't
center.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
I'm putting my hand over my heart right now.
Do we have a deal? Will you say you love us on TV and then you can call back and plug this as much as you like?
If I have the chance, now I may get in trouble, you know. They get very finicky about who you talk about.
No,
Don and Mike, they're going to want to know who.
You just throw it in, just say, I just got much love for Don and Mike.
Look, I just wanted to ask your listeners, come over on February 10th at Union Square Park, lots of fun, 17th and Broadway.
I guess he's plugging
at 11:30, and we'll have a good time.
He's agreed to mention our names on
I guess so. All right,
Don,
we will watch you.
Mike,
we will watch you.
I should say, will you drop a line for us, or would you, support a charity, or would you get, and all you want
to would you say hello to us
hello
on TV?
Don, Mike.
Why is it so rough to ask you
to say something?
What?
Hello.
Yes, that's us.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. We're very shallow. Two more. Two more shallow men you'll never meet, Richard.
Yeah.
But at least give us this. We're upfront about our shallowality.
And then you can come on anytime. You will own us, Richard. You will own us.
What is it like talking to, people? Like, when you open phones and stuff, do people call from, like, 55 different cities?
Yes.
What is that exciting for you?
No.
No.
You know what's exciting? I'm on the web. I have a webpage, www.richardsimmons.com. And I get, like, email every day.
Yes.
And I get I'm not kidding you. I get email from Scotland.
You know, I got an idea.
Germany.
All right, seriously.
France.
Richard, if you want to know how heavy this show is, we'll have all of our listeners email you and recommend a mention on it.
Can you just believe that there is this machine now that you could just talk to? They could email you from.
Is he talking about the internet?
Yeah, no.
Are you talking about the internet?
A group of women email me and say they want to fly me over to Egypt to do some classes.
Okay, well. I just wish it.
What a miracle we're living in.
Yes, thank God Al Gore invented the internet. Would you please just say you love us on Regis' show, please? Please?
I'll try my best.
Please, and if you do, you're welcome back anytime.
Wait a minute. This is now a if or. Now it's become entrapment.
No. We are simply asking.
Uh-huh.
We're asking that you take 2 seconds out of your Regis appearance.
Hi, this is Richard Simmons, and when I'm in 55 states, I listen to Don and Mike show.
You gotta say, Regis, I want to say I love Don and Mike. He's not going to ask who we are. You know him.
We're just high.
He never listens to the answers.
Just a little high, and then we have it on tape, and we play it again and again and again, and you're immortalized. And then anytime you want to talk about your raisins, you want to talk about weight loss.
It's just absolute blackmail.
Yeah. Yes,
radio
it is.
Blackmail.
Yes, it is.
You know, to even conceive that I would think two intelligent men like you,
Richard,
wanting a future, would step this low.
Please.
This is our future. You
we
see,
will step that low. So, I will take your silence to mean that we have a deal, and we will.
I said I'll try. You know when I get there, things get crazy. I don't know.
But Richard,
I'll give it a try, but I'm not giving you a definite Valerie Harper no.
Okay, all right.
But I don't know if you have a really strong relationship with Valerie Harper like you have with me.
We just had.
I don't think you can kid around with her like you can.
We just had her on right before we had you on today.
And did she kid around with you?
Yes, we're buddies with her. Call her and ask her.
She wasn't scheduled or anything. We just had our producer call her office.
Because she's got her Rhoda and Mary show on tonight.
Oh, God. Get the tissue out.
Yeah, it's going to be moving.
I'm going to play that theme song, I'm going to cry. First time I saw that, I ran to Minneapolis. So I stayed in that same hotel and San one that went down the escalator and threw my hat up.
All right. We'll see. I'm hanging up now. We'll see you on the Regis show on Wednesday. Say that you love us and come back anytime.
You're my raisin. Bye.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye, Richard.
Bye.
Yeah. Looks like it always was with him.
Talking to somebody in an institution.
Jesus Christ.
God. He always hates it when we talk about BMs.
Mm-hmm.
Always does.
I'll tell you, he has his agenda, though.
Mm-hmm.
He'll steamroll right ahead. And I got 2 free, bags of raisins out of it.
No, you didn't. You got 4. There you go.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you.
There you go. Knock yourself out.
Thanks a lot.
It's raisin riffing.
I'm ready for a BM right now.
All right. Well, our thanks to Richard Simmons. I will say to his credit that I had it at the ready, but never did I have to press this button. I thought it was standing by.
It was on the verge a couple of times there.
When he started to get real heavy into his plug.
Yeah.
Somebody told him that we're not even on in New York yet.
I don't think so.
Because he was plugging an event in New York. Right. I mean, hopefully any day now, but
right.
Not yet.
Not yet, Richard.
Hey, Richard. All right, Dick Simmons. We'll be back. Oh, the paintball stuff.
Yes.
We have not even heard the best stuff of the paintball stuff. Oh, and listen, everybody, stay tuned. Sometime in the next hour, we're going to be giving away a free trip to Iceland.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
We have a trip every day this week, a vacation for two to Iceland. Each trip is worth over $5,000.
Make that even better if you get to go with Richard Simmons and Candy Strike Short.
And the good news is that because today's show's been so jam-packed with junk,
yes,
we're probably not going to have time to play a game. We'll probably just do a simple call in to win.
Excellent.
So I would advise you, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Yes.
Okay, I'm a relatively new listener. I just kind of moved to the area.
Right.
First of all, I love you. You guys are the best.
No, love you, but
No,
go
love
ahead.
You more.
No, love you more.
And I've heard Dennis on a couple of times, and am I allowed to ask what he exactly looks like, or is that not allowed?
You know that guy? You know that guy who does all those movies with Matt Damon?
Yeah.
Ben Affleck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly okay. What he looks like. We actually, you know, for years and years, we actually said he looked like Cary Grant. But now, you know, we had to modernize that, and he looks a little bit like Ben Affleck.
Very handsome he is.
But am I to understand that he has a lack of a tongue?
He has half a tongue. He was in a shark accident as a young man.
He tried to French kiss a shark.
In a hot tub, I'm sure.
No, Dennis is a very handsome man. You can look at a picture of Dennis on his website at DennisMurphy.com.
Oh, he has his own website.
Yes,
huh?
He does.
All right. Well, that's a good sign.
Right.
All right. Well, so, you know, what made you decide to pick up the phone? Have you always wanted a hot tub?
You know what? Honestly, guys, it's just to meet you. And yes, I do want a hot tub. I just bought a new house with a deck. It would be perfect. But I kind of wanted just to meet you. Dennis is kind of the sidebar here.
Well, this is a beautiful hot tub. I will tell you that, Kelly.
Well, I can only imagine.
And what type of bathing suit do you imagine you would be wearing down?
Well, I only wear bikinis.
Very good.
I have a little orange and yellow, bright colored bikini. I know exactly the one I'm planning on wearing. So.
And who is the celebrity you think you most resemble?
I knew you were going to ask that. I've been told a couple things. I've been told I look like a young Cybill Shepherd.
Oh, yeah.
In her better days, before she got obnoxious and annoying.
Yeah.
And I've also been told Marky Post.
Good.
Okay.
Good. Is that a good thing?
Oh, that's very good. Yeah, we're looking forward to meeting you.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
I love you guys. You guys are the best.
Well, thank you. We love you. Now, listen, Kelly.
Okay.
You're in an excellent position.
I know. I'm in second.
Because there's no way that other girl is going to be able to go for 4 hours with Dennis.
No.
And you will be in a perfect position. You will be able to see how long she was able to kiss Dennis.
Right.
And then you will immediately know the standard that you must beat.
Exactly. Hey, let me ask you this. Can I get liquored up before I do this?
Sure. As long as you don't drive yourself here.
And make sure you still participate after you log onto that website, okay?
All right, hold on, Kelly.
All right, thanks, guys.
Hold on a second, please. All right, that's two girls.
I'd love to see Kelly's face when she logs on to DennisMurphy.com.
Well, she'll see Ben Affleck.
Absolutely. Maybe she drinks before she logs on.
Hello, Don, in my show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, buddy, no men allowed in this contest.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Did he really wanted to kiss Dennis Murphy?
Hello, Nicole.
Yes.
Hi, Nicole. Where are you calling from, baby?
Fairfax.
You want to be girl number three?
I love the attitude. You know, it's what everybody's they're willing to jump in, but just with a little hesitation.
Well, you know, I mean, imagine.
Sure.
I mean, it's a great prize.
Right.
It's a $5,000 prize, but you're talking about kissing Dennis Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like life, Don. Everything has you know, the yin and the yang.
So, Nicole.
Yes.
Nicole, you will be girl number three. A very nice position to be in.
I will be girl number three.
Girl number three. You'll have the third shot at planting your lips on Dennis a week from today.
Okay.
Have you ever seen the great Dennis Murphy?
Actually, no.
Oh, okay. Why not?
That's probably not a good thing.
No, my mother and I listen to her show all the time. She's seen him.
Oh, well, then that's great.
That's pretty scary looking.
Through the eyes of mom.
Ask your mom, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's the one that talked me into doing this.
Oh, very nice. You can bring your mom down to watch if you like.
Oh, I can bring my mom down to watch?
You can bring your mom down to participate.
Yeah. Actually, she wants to know if there's any way I can try, because I'll let him fill me up for it instead of a kiss.
What was that?
What, honey?
I said I will let him fill me up for it instead of a kiss if I can.
Let him fill you up?
Yes.
You mean you have sex with him?
No.
What are you talking about?
I'll let him fondle me.
Feel
you up.
Feel.
No.
Feel was Phil.
Oh, no, no. No, I'm sorry. We can't allow you to prostitute yourself.
Hey, did mommy sign off on that one, too?
Yeah.
I mean, why don't you let him feel you up?
Feel you up. No.
There's no touching involved.
Okay.
You simply kiss him, and if you kiss him the longest in the hot tub, you win the hot tub.
Is it just regular peck kiss or tongue kiss?
It's a regular kiss. You just can't break the seal. You don't need the tongue if you don't want to.
Okay.
I can't imagine why you would want to.
I know, everybody wants to. I know. We're really depriving the girls of something. Yeah.
And Nicole, what type of bathing suit would you be wearing down?
Actually, a one-piece. I had a little girl 6.5 months ago. So I would be wearing a low-cut one-piece.
Are you still breastfeeding?
No. But I'm not worried about that anyways. I'm well endowed.
Well, Dennis will be happy to hear that.
And who is the celebrity you think you most resemble, Nicole?
Most people tell me I look like Jewel.
Jewel Snaggletooth.
Fantastic.
Jewel. Nicole, you will be girl number
three.
Okay.
A good position. Hold on, please.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's talk to one more girl. Okay?
Isn't that a nice attitude, though, that, you know, Dennis can feel her up if he wants.
That's great. That's what Mama said.
Mama suggested that.
Mama said, hey, how about let him touch you? Maybe you really get the hot tub. We want it, Dad, before spring. Let him feel your boobies. Hello, Dawn.
Yes.
Hi, Dawn.
How are you?
We're doing great, thank you. You want to be girl number four?
Sure, that would be great.
Also a very nice position.
Yes. I'm a little concerned because it's a four-hour-long gig, and the first girl only would have to go for 2 hours and 1 minute, and she would be the winner.
Ah, very good. Very clever of you to figure out the math like that.
However, I must tell you, it really, I can't imagine a girl kissing Dennis for more than 5 minutes.
I don't see that happening, and the very fact that you're concerned about that shows me that you've got what it takes to win this competition.
I have what it takes.
I know I've said this to every girl, but I think as long as you're close to the first couple of girls,
right?
First three, four, five girls, you're in a good position because by the time they drop out, then if you look at your watch and you say, you know what, there's only an hour left in the show.
Right.
If I just lock my lips to this monster for an hour, I win the hot tub.
That's right.
Then you're in.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a good way. And playing the mathematics of it, that's the smart way to play the game.
Dawn, yes. Can you tell us what type of bathing suit you'll be wearing next Monday?
Well, it would be a one-piece bathing suit. I have three kids, and one of them is just 3 months old, so...
Wow, some new moms that are going to be playing the game.
Who's the celebrity you think you most resemble, Dawn?
Well, I have never seen her, but I've been told Tatum O'Neal.
Tatum O'Neal. Okay, Paper Moon.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
I've never seen her, so I have no clue.
And listen, you know that you won't be alone in the hot tub, that we will have the wonderful Jenna and Shiloh in the hot tub also. So it's not like you'll be alone with Dennis in there.
All right. And do they get a kiss, too?
Only if you'd like to score extra points. And I think that we might have a special category if you want to score extra points by making out with Jenna and Shiloh.
Boy, it could be quite a day.
All right, hold on, Dawn.
All right, thank you.
All right, we're going to stop this for right now. We'll take more girls tomorrow.
Got some free spirits so far, Dawn.
But as it stands right now, positions 1, 2, 3, and 4 have been taken.
Hey, and that sound you hear is Dennis Murphy heavy breathing somewhere in the distance.
For next Monday's lip lock with Dennis, one of those girls blew in the hot tub valued at $5,600.
And I only hope he looks as good as he looked the morning we played paintball.
Oh, Jesus. What a mess he looks like. And Dennis, if you're listening now, and I know you are, please don't call
as soon as
Buzz starts the news. And please go to the dentist.
Yeah, go to the dentist, Dennis, and really get those teeth cleaned up.
Please. Go to the dentist. You have a full week to get an appointment, Dennis.
You owe that to these contestants.
These four lovely, brave girls who have decided that they will lock their mouths on yours.
Wow. Dennis comes back next week. It looks like Matt Dillon and Something About Mary.
Did we talk to a girl named Melanie?
I don't think we did.
No, I'm afraid we have a girl number five we must talk to. Melanie?
Yes?
Hi, baby.
Hi.
Hi. You want to be girl five?
Yeah, but I just want to change the rules one way.
Why?
Can I let him kiss my ass instead of my lips? Because I'd never let Dennis Murphy's lip touch mine. I've seen him before, and I think I might throw up.
Oh, no need for that kind of cruelty, Melanie. Did you call simply to pile on Dennis Murphy?
I want to warn all the women out there that are about to enter this contest that man has yellow saliva coming from his lips at all times.
Thank you, Melanie.
I was at the beach house with him once and almost threw up watching him eat his egg.
You remember Melanie, Mike? Melanie Cunny?
Remember me?
Melanie Cunny, you remember her?
Melanie, you
have a horrible thing to say.
Did you ever go to, like, King's Dominion, too?
I was supposed to. I was mad at you guys.
Oh,
yeah, that's all right. Goodbye.
Trouble.
That
was trouble.
Melanie Seward. Okay. All right. Well, we'll go with the four girls that we have now. Oh, Dennis? Did I just say don't call?
Yes. You just gave him explicit instructions not to call.
I just said don't call.
No, you said don't call. Don't call. Don't call. Don't call. Don't call. Don't call.
Okay, what?
Thank you, Colin, Mike.
You're welcome. Please go to the dentist.
Okay.
All right, Dennis, I'm serious. Are you going to do that?
Well, if I'm going to call him, I will.
No, not good enough, Dennis. No, listen. I'll get some other guy to sit in the hot tub, Dennis.
Okay.
You have to promise me you'll get into the dentist. If I can get an appointment.
Contact, I'll call him.
Didn't you have a dentist that was going to help you out?
Well, you all were going to supply him.
He found his own foot doctor, remember?
Oh, that's right. He found his own
foot doctor. We were going to supply a dentist.
There's
got to
be a dentist listening that would be willing to help Dennis Murphy.
You can look in the yellow pages and simply tell them. How long has it been since you've been to the dentist? You could look in the yellow pages and call up and say, this is an emergency.
Right.
A dental emergency. I haven't been to the dentist.
Time to get an extra vat of fluoride when you go in there.
Listen, Dennis.
You did go to the dentist.
Okay, I'll have him call you if he wants to call.
Well, all you have to do is bring us a receipt from the dentist.
Okay.
And make sure you get a cleaning.
Yeah, a really good cleaning.
Oh, good word. I'll bleach my teeth.
No, bleach your teeth. I don't want you to get, like, I don't want you to go out and get Rembrandt tooth polish.
Well, I want my leaky soap.
Go to the dentist.
You know, what I'm hearing here is somebody is doing the home remedy. No, the dentist will tell you what he thinks you need to
do. Okay, no, I'm going to the dentist, don't worry. I will get there before Monday, and that's a guarantee.
All right, Dennis, very good.
Thank you for involving, thank you for Saturday.
You're very welcome, and we will see you next Monday.
Let me hide behind the tree and get hit.
We will see you next Monday.
Okay.
All right, goodbye, Steph.
Thank you, Con.
You're welcome.
I like you, Con. I love you, Con.
Oh, I love you, Dennis.
This is going to be great. Four women.
Oh, Dennis, there will be tons more than four. That was just the first day.
I know, but do you think more than four women?
It's going to be great. It's going to be great if you go to the dentist.
Yeah, imagine how many more women will call if they hear that you're actually going to go to the dentist.
Okay, mm-hmm. I will go. You know what?
For the first time since 1992.
Huh?
Well, that was 8 years ago,
1992. I'm out.
I'm out. That was the last time you went to the dentist.
I'm out. I'm out, God. Don't.
Before Bill Clinton was elected president. Yeah. When George Bush was still president.
Just Dennis, this will be the best thing you've ever done.
Oh, I know, but...
Right after the Gulf War. That's the last time you went to the dentist.
Okay, so I will let you go, and I'll...
Yeah, that's a new one. What? Dennis is going to let us go, because we're on this subject.
Right.
I don't mind coming to the dentist. I'm just afraid of the girl.
The last time you went to the dentist, Bill Cosby was still on Thursday night.
Dennis,
hold on, please. I have a dentist on the phone.
Excellent. Oh, good.
This is a real dentist?
It's a dentist's wife.
And even better, a dentist's wife.
Oh, a dentist's wife.
You want, honey?
Oh, jeez. Those cell phones. Damn it. Lost her.
Crap. I bet she'll call back. She's in a bad cell. Hey, Dennis, we'll get you Dennis.
I'm in the back cell.
Yes, that is. It does happen all the time.
All right, Dennis, listen. I tell you what. Just to double check, you make that appointment, and if that Dennis' wife calls back, we'll make an appointment for you, too.
Okay, no, but I'm going to call the guy right now.
All right, very good.
Good, Dennis. Good job.
All right, Dennis, I thought you were going to let us go.
Oh, well, you got to hold on.
Oh, but now I've changed my mind.
Oh, God.
Goodbye.
Gone?
Yes.
Thank you for... Next Monday.
Okay, bye, Dennis.
Mike.
What?
Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis.
I owe you.
I know you do.
Bye.
I owe you my right hand.
Bye.
Bye.
That's a new one. Never said that to me. That was very sweet.
We just made some kind of nocturnal at the end of that conversation.
Oh, man, he's given so much.
Okay, listen. That's next Monday. Now. Have enough happening on the show at one time.
Lots of plates spinning right now.
Let's wait on the Iceland trip. Let's try to give away $10,000.
$10,000.
Okay, secret celebrity laugh number 3. The jackpot fluctuates.
Yes, it does.
Between $500 and $10,000.
At the whim of the quizmaster.
We do have a clue. This secret celebrity laugh number 3 is a major female motion picture star.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Aha. Uh-huh. If you'd like a shot, please call the lovely Erica. Erica. She is manning our phones right now. She'll take the 100th caller. It's your shot of winning up to $10,000 right now. Phone number 1-877-365-3636.
This is the Dawn and Mikey. They broadcast from Monday till Friday, the Don and Mike Show.
Big show thus far today. And listen, tomorrow, we're going to have some fun. Tomorrow, master hypnotist Gary Conrad is coming in.
Going to come in here and hypnotize us?
Yeah. He's going to hypnotize Homo Joe. Fantastic. Make it great. That is is on tomorrow's episode, Big in Studio Hypnotist Show. We will be in Wichita, Kansas. We get a lot of calls about this today. March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. We will be in Wichita, courtesy of radio station KF8.
Yeah.
We'll do a show from their studios on Friday, March 17th. And yes, we will do a Las Vegas-style show.
Happy St. Patty's Day.
The destination to be announced, but write that down in your calendar that we will be in Wichita on March 17th.
Heck yeah, we have a lot of fans out there in Wichita. We're looking forward to coming out there again.
And Buzz's dad.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Real good show.
Yes, Don and Mike.
Hi, who's this?
My name is Brian.
Brian, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Bakersfield.
Brian, listening on KGEO.
Yeah, buddy.
Bakersfield, California, buddy. You've won the Runaway Brian Prize Pack. Now at Blockbuster Video, rent the latest new releases, including Runaway Bride, Tarzan, An Ideal Husband, and Bowfinger, Tarzan.
Tarzan.
Tarzan. Enjoy your Runaway Bride. That's from Blockbuster Video.
Brock or Block?
Now, Block. What did I say, Brock?
Block.
I
Block.
Block.
I thought you said Block.
Yeah.
Block. Yeah.
I say Block, see?
Block, Blockbuster Video, see? Are you ready to play for $3,000?
I'm ready.
That's a nice big jackpot.
That's wonderful.
For Secret Celebrity Laugh number 3, she is a major motion picture star. Are you ready?
Go, sir.
$3,000 on the line. Please don't answer until Mike sings like.
Ethel Merman.
And we wish you...
Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
I've heard it so many times. Now it seems obvious to me.
Ah, well, you know what it is.
Of course, I'm like Alex Trebek. I got to know the answer all along. She is a major motion picture star.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
For $3,000, who is that?
Would that be Sharon Stone?
What?
Nothing. Would you please repeat that?
Sharon Stone.
As in?
The Rock Stone. Stone.
Sharon Stone.
Stone.
Have you ever thought about what it would sound like? If I was to say you've just won $3,000?
I've wondered it, but I'm not sure I'm going to hear it.
No, you're not.
No.
Not a chance.
Oh, no. We're sorry.
No, not a chance.
Sorry I ruined your charade.
Yeah, I know you did.
By laughing, but it was...
I got to start blindfolding Mike when we do this contest.
Between you and Rob, sometimes the looks just crack me up when you guys do. Rob goes into this. Rob tries so hard just to not give... To be Mr. Poker Face. But you are, you know, it's...
I can't help it.
You go down and reach down in the little rack and get the drum roll and stuff like that. It was just, I couldn't help but laugh at
it. No, it is not Sharon Stone. That is an excellent guess. And please remember that every guess is a clue for you. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Faye.
Thank you, Faye.
Hey.
Hold on, please. Now, listen. Still got a trip to Iceland to give away. We're going to give that away in a couple of seconds.
That's a great prize.
I'll figure out a way to make sure you've been listening to the whole show today. Probably a very easy question about today's show.
Right.
Frankly, we're going to do some big, long, drawn-out contests, but today's show has been very busy, so...
I like that.
It's good for you, chance to call in and win. What we do have to get to before we give away the trip... Lead story.
Yeah. The lead story on today's newscast
is the fact that we kicked the salespeople's ass.
Yes, it was a hard-fought battle, and we prevailed.
When we played paintball on Saturday, we played capture the flag. We started at about 8:15 on Saturday morning.
Right early out in the cold tundra.
Much thanks to the nice people at Pev's Paintball in Woodbridge, Virginia.
They set us up with balls, guns, camo, the whole smear.
The ammo we had. Everything. And we killed them.
We did.
And I mean that literally, we killed everybody on the sales staff.
Yeah, they were wiped out. We took no prisoners. I wanted to because I wanted to actually interrogate David Hamlin.
We captured the flag. We killed the salespeople. I think when we last heard a bit of this tape, we had already met our team.
Right.
We had plotted our strategy. Rob had interviewed some of the great unwashed. And here we are now, moments before.
Just the dirty part?
The paintball battle.
Yes, where there's lots of cussing.
Not good. Let's go back to the tape. Saturday morning, a great paintball victory.
We are going to have... I don't want...
Who's worse, you or me?
I don't know. Ah, it's a fine day, though. A little warm in Woodbridge.
Yes.
You know, it is conceivably warmer than when we awoke.
It is, and I think it's a good day to do battle, and I think we're going to win. I think...
you, Rob.
That was that dirty f***er, Charlie Broyhill, with a f***ing potty mouth.
Have you seen
Don wants to get on his list? I know, he's got that look in his eyes. Charlie f***ing Broyhill said a dirty word. What the f*** did he say?
I said f*** you, Rob.
Rob, do you think there's a f***ing chance that you could edit this shit?
I think what I do is lay it down on some f***ing tape and then put in some goddamn Christing tone.
I think a collective from our group to the sales.
Let me just say, this is pretty pathetic.
It is. Yeah. We are.
We're up at 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning wearing camouflage, and we are like a bunch of monkeys. We're laughing our asses off because we are cussing
on the tape
into a tape recorder.
Well, the thing I found funny is that I need to take Rob a little extra time to put this down. That's the cruel side of me.
I think what I do is lay it down on some f***ing tape and then put in some goddamn Christing tone.
I think a collective from our group to the sales team, we can simply say, hey,
f*** you.
Sorry, Bart.
You know what the other team has?
We're doing all that right in front of Bart.
I know.
A couple of morons. Me again. Parent of the year.
Come on out. Let's play paintball. All we're doing is dropping the F-bomb.
Bart. You know what the other team has? The Cunny Factory.
They do, but... you know, Rob, I live to kill Cunny.
I love the smell of Cunny in the morning.
They had girls on their team.
Yes, a lot more than we did.
We had no girls on our team.
We ended up getting Stacey.
Oh, yeah, we had Stacey, but right. She was a last-minute trade.
Okay. Where are we going now?
Friendly fire.
Sure. Who needs an arm band?
Stacey needs one.
No,
not yet.
Now we're arranging ourselves.
This might be where we get the instructions.
Is that what this is, Robbie, the instructions?
This is right as the DJ team, these hards, is getting in our area.
Throw it, 0800.
Guys like Boy Hill, all the young guys, as soon as they say go, we got to go.
Take the back like that.
Thank you, man.
Somebody's in the trunk of a car.
Keep your fingers off the trigger.
Somebody shot.
Keep your fingers off the trigger.
Hold on a second.
We'll leave that out.
Who's that?
I left the S word in.
Who was that?
Somebody said the S word. I think it was you, Mike.
I thought it was Joe.
No,
I think
it's you. Go to, let's go to 14.
Okay.
Let's just go past this. I'm afraid there might be more cussing in this segment.
I'm sorry. It was war.
Hey, don't do this ass without me.
War is hell.
War is hell. You use bad language.
We're rolling. Here we go.
Okay, back to the instructions.
How about that? I like that. That's their battle cry.
What?
Dave, I'm going to kill you.
Ow!
Sorry, Charlie.
Oh,
this is a good moment.
Oh, this is a good moment. This is excellent. We're standing around getting ready to go play, and I accidentally shot Charlie Stoppel twice in the hand. That's why you hear him go, ow.
One of the things that we did hear right before this is the guy saying, please take your barrel plug out, but keep your fingers off the trigger at all times. Do not touch the trigger.
All right, when you hear you're going to hear the talking, then you hear a gun go off, and you'll hear Charlie Stoppel say, ow. Don is probably 2 feet from Charlie Stoppel.
Yeah, he shot him right in the hand.
He discharges his weapon into his hand, right between the thumb and forefinger where it really hurts.
Like a pile of snot right in his palm.
I like that. That's their battle cry.
What?
Dave, I'm going to kill you. Ow!
Sorry, Charlie.
Oh!
Friendly fire.
Oh! You fragged me!
I didn't mean that.
Hear that again. That's worth hearing again.
It really is.
I really didn't mean to shoot him. I swear to God.
You hear the immediate reaction of Dom's gun going, boom, and Charlie going, ow!
I like that. That's a battle cry.
What?
Dave, I'm going to kill you!
Ow!
Ow!
Sorry, Charlie.
Ow!
Friendly fire.
Ow!
you frog me!
Charlie, I'm sorry.
Hold on, while we have them on,
yeah, what happened here, boys?
It's friendly fire, Rob. I accidentally
took my hand off.
I accidentally shot Charlie Stossel.
He took my freaking hand off.
Come on, looks like he could use a cleanup.
Stossel, you're on the left side for them.
Yes, I'm general.
All right, yeah, go to the next segment, please.
We're getting very close to the battle now.
It's almost battle time.
Mm-hmm. Right. This is, I think, Rob has this categorized as I almost shoot Bart.
Yeah, more friendly fire.
Almost has some more
just
friendly
were firing
fire.
Firing rounds all over the place.
But they give me that automatic weapon, and when I just went to pick the gun up,
right?
So you just put your hand anywhere near the trigger, that the baby started going off. Right. That's why you keep your hand away from the trigger.
Much better gun. Careful with it, though.
Yeah, don't waste your ammo.
Oh, yeah.
Just that.
I don't know.
Don't even...
Oh,
sorry.
Dad, thanks.
You got going.
You didn't hit me, though.
Replay that for a second. We'll hear that.
It's the same sound. It's like...
So here's Dad.
Only one gun that sounds like this.
Sorry. Just that.
I don't know.
Don't even...
Oh, thanks.
Sorry.
Dad, thanks. You didn't hit me, though.
You're causing problems.
Not full of sugar. I don't want to get... Either.
Rob, I have just accidentally shot Bart.
Right up, you shot Charlie.
I'm loopy. I'm loopy for the gun.
Look at you, you're nutty for the friendly fire.
You might get a little friendly fire yourself, Ted.
You ready?
Ready?
No. Come on,
man, boy.
Don't waste your ammo.
We have a 1 minute before the score.
There's
a 1 minute delay, so
it's
just you again.
The gun keeps going off.
What do we do?
Everyone has to be inside the flag station.
Now we get our final instruction.
Right. Waiting for a guy to blow the whistle, and then we have 60 seconds.
Also, 1 minute countdown. 1 minute,
60 seconds prior to the shout.
You're one of the left, right?
Yes. Why don't you be in that corner of the flag station, ready to go for that three?
So you're hearing some real battle conversation between Buzz and Rob.
Right. Strategy there.
We've
got to
be in here. Over here.
Friendly fire.
Friendly fire.
Everybody in here. Everybody in here. Come on.
That went well.
Yeah.
Sounds like we're listening to the soundtrack of the Blair Witch Project.
Wait, hey, guys, wait.
Hey, come on, we just eat. Oh, this is where they tell us all to stay in one area, but
right. We start to ease out of there.
We start splitting up.
All set, go.
Looked a little like the Blair Witch Project.
It did.
Out there in the woods.
The thick woods. Little wooden sculptures hanging from the trees. Where's the Blair Witch Project? Didn't have that plane flying over.
That guy's still screaming, wait for my whistle. A lot of rules in paintball.
There's just a lot of instructions.
Too many! Oh, come on. Where's the actual game, Rob?
It's a little out of sequence. We're about to get to where Joe actually gets shot once. Nate Dobbs, right, then he gets killed. So we actually get to hear...
So we're going
to
hear Joe Ardinger get killed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Figuratively, of course.
Okay. Has the game started yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got nothing now.
It's coming in one second. This is Joe out in the field firing.
What we did is we have a wireless microphone that's
strapped
to Joe Ardinger's chest.
Right.
So when you hear that, that's the sound of Joe.
That's Joe's gun.
Shooting his gun.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Paycheck.
Paycheck.
All right, let's get it. Now, we're clean.
Rob, let's break when we come back. Here's what I want to hear. I want to hear Mike get hit in the face.
Okay.
I want to hear Jim McClure suiciding himself. Then I want to hear Eat My Luger. And finally, the victory.
The victory!
The victory, okay, all of that coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is Sports Alert. Let them raise your children. The Don and Mike Show.
Right back to the victory against the salespeople and the paintball man. We're going to wrap it up in this break.
Right.
We're going to start with Mike getting shot. Now, since none of us were armed with tape recorders, except for Rob and Joe Ardinger,
right.
You don't actually hear Mike get hit, but you hear Mike run up to Rob after Mike has been hit.
And I wonder if this is the one where I was angry. Was this the one where I was angry?
I don't remember you being anything but pleasant all morning.
All right, here we go.
You're upset at this point.
Roll the tape.
Right.
Already?
Oh.
Yeah. Come here a second. Let me interview you. That's what I saw him coming.
Back it up, then. Back it up a little bit. There's one time I got hit where I was depressed, and then the other time when I was angry. And the third time I just...
There's a yellow armband. Already?
Yeah.
Come here a second. Let me interview you. Early trouble for Mike O'Mara. Mike, what happened?
I got hit.
Who hit you?
I don't know. I didn't see it coming, but I got hit in the face.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, look at you. Oh, how did that feel?
That hurt.
Looks like snot dripping,
that hurt like
dripping
hell.
Down your nose.
That hurt like hell.
Well, thank you for taking one.
Thank you. Okay. And now I'm going to reincarnate because I'm going to cheat because it's our game.
I agree that you should reincarnate. It is your game. Dennis! Oh, back there, sir. Thanks.
What was that?
My gun.
Wow.
It's Rob shooting.
Old tin can.
I think I'll be here now with Rob clomp around his big Herman Munster shoes. Let's go to Jim McClure suiciding himself for the good of the team.
Okay, this is where he ran towards the other team's fort.
What happens is about five of us up on top of this hill, and Jim McClure, Big Gum Jim, very bravely says, I will run in, and I will get their fire. And while they're shooting at me, you guys come in behind and shoot at them.
All right.
And I'll be damned if it didn't work.
It works.
Here is Big Gum Jim.
Buzz, what happened? Jim, come here. Keep your hand up.
Crunch.
I suicided myself to pull David Hainlein.
Did it work?
I got him.
Attaboy.
Yeah. You decided.
That machine.
Yeah, I got it. Was out of the game.
I can hear Dennis laughing.
Hey, do you have anybody close?
I can't see from here. Right now, some confusion on the battlefield as we don't know if we have anyone who's close. How do things look up there, my sir?
All is quiet on the western front, Rob.
Thank you.
Slowing down a little bit. You don't hear as many gunfire. Gunfire shots. It's me.
Time machine.
There's Rob.
Firing in the air.
Rob uses his muscle.
Dot, dot, dot.
Eat My Luger.
Is that your gun going, dot, dot, dot?
The latest I heard is that Jim McClure suicided himself to kill David Hainlein.
Suicided himself. I hear no gunfire.
Now, at this point, when you guys are all back by the fort area,
right.
It was Bart and myself and maybe Wendell
right.
And Jarrett just ran up and got the flag
right.
And ran it back. I think you're going to hear right. That when we arrived.
I was covering your left flank with my fourth life, though. I was on my belly, offering covering fire.
My belly.
Who actually had the flag, Captain? Rob, I am proud to say that Captain Bart captured the flag.
Go,
Barty! For the good guys' team. And ran down the field victorious with myself and
Garrett leading the way.
Bart, you must be thrilled.
Yeah.
You want to take it one game at a time? What's your plan for the next paintball match?
Do the same thing. Just take them all out and get the flag.
Uncle Mike, we won. I'm covered with paint, but I was reincarnated.
Mike, amazing staying power. You actually lived 8 lives out there.
I did indeed. They'd wipe me off when I'd go back to battle, but I'd like to say that the greatest satisfaction was a headshot to David Hainline.
Huzzah!
Mike, I believe that Jimmy Dum-Dum also hit David Hainline. I am proud to tell you, I also shot David Hainline.
Fantastic.
You know, that's a highlight, but we all got to kill David Hainline.
If you saw him, if you saw a picture of him, he's just covered with blue paint.
I got him one time. He had been hit.
Right.
And he put his hand up.
Sure.
And he was walking off, and I still took a shot at him.
He's the kind of guy you want to throw a couple of extra rounds into. Just to make sure.
A great victory for the Allied forces.
For the good guys.
We knew that the sales team would lose because they are pussies!
Let's hear it, Tom!
Yeah!
Hard!
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 Hard! Hard!
Hard! Hard!
That was our team, it's hard.
Go interview some of the spectators of this war.
I will, I think I shall.
So now the battle's over.
The first person I want to speak to is David Hainline. Dave, you played just like we expected you would. How are your feelings right now?
I feel great.
Really? You were shot. You were obviously the obvious target for so many people.
I hit right in the eye.
Did you? Did the goggles help you out?
The goggles were a good thing. I highly recommend never taking them off.
What felt better? The sting of the paintball or the angry sting of defeat?
What hurt worse is when I was dead and Jim McClure hit me in the neck at close range. That's what was the aggravating part of this defeat. Walking up with my hands up, dead, and getting shot after I was dead.
He doesn't know that was me that shot him, not Jim.
That was Jim McClure actually being quite proactive.
He was proactive, and he was dead too.
Proactive your ass?
Yeah, proactive my ass.
Jim McCarthy, everybody.
And he unloads from 10 yards out.
Who's that?
That's Jim McClure. There's a bounty on his.
Hey, Dummy, how do you like that headset I got on
you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that you could shoot so well. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
We're aiming for you.
You dirty dog.
Mike, you're covered with paint.
I am indeed. Everybody is shooting at me. But I reincarnated.
What'd you think, spectators? Did you see anything from your vantage point?
No.
Standing around getting shot.
Yeah, well, I was doing my best to guard that tree. And as you know, no one hit the tree.
Or yourself, sir.
So Mike is waxed. It was cool.
Yeah, Mike apparently has several lives. He would get hit, but he would not fall down.
He was already dead. And I guess the guy didn't know he was dead, so he laid about 3 shots right into his back.
I want you to know it was not all fun and games out there. As you can see, I have a trace of snot-colored paint on my boot. And I wouldn't tell about it. You, sir, must be really impressed with our condition.
Oh, completely.
And your thoughts after seeing such a fight?
Well, I was waiting for Dennis to turn into Rambo, and so I'm a little disappointed about that one.
Well, I tell you what, you keep waiting, because it might happen still.
Well, I think he's going to snap. Right? So you guys are going to play again.
We'll see. Your thoughts, sir?
I'm really disappointed, because I wanted to see Dennis Murphy out there in the nurse's outfit.
Sorry about that.
But at least the good guys are.
He was more valuable as a soldier than as a nurse. But I think it shows because he was on the winning team.
Soldier with the nurse's outfit on.
So that might be your own private fantasy. All right, you, sir?
Maybe the Super Bowl looked like a joke. It was incredible.
It was really great, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's it. We won. And there will be a rematch in the spring.
Oh, there sure will be.
When the weather's warmer and we're all wearing our Richard Simmons candy stripes.
We kicked their ass.
We did indeed.
Yeah. And thanks again to the great guys at Tubbs Paintball.
They were very accommodating.
Woodbridge, VA.
They're swell guys. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. Did you ever get to fire your gun at all?
I did, actually, a little toward the end.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Did you empty
defending the fort?
Did you empty one of your canisters?
No, never did.
No,
just shot.
Fired a few shots.
What is your lead story tonight, Buzz?
Tonight, did John Holmes have a thing for Hugh Hefner?
John the Wad.
Yeah. Now you've captured my attention. Hey, everybody, please stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
Music coming up.
Come on, John and Mike Show.
John and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
Hold on, 2 things before we go to break.
Yes. First, Pev from Pev's Paintball is on the phone.
Oh, hi, Pev.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, buddy. Thanks for your hospitality Saturday.
Hope you all had a great time.
Yeah. You know we did.
Great. Fantastic. I wish I could have seen it, but unfortunately I got a little tied up in the morning.
That's okay. You had a good staff out there, and they took care of us.
Great. Great, fantastic. Well, next time we'll have to do it in our netted arena when it thaws out so that everybody, all the spectators can watch all the way around everything.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That's a deal. Thank you, Pabs.
All right. Well, I'm glad you all have a good time. And, hey, just remember, when you shoot someone who's already been eliminated, it's called bonus balls, and we do it all the time.
Bonus balls!
All right.
Thank you.
I love it.
Take care.
Thank you, Pabs.
All right. Bye-bye. I just wanted to give them a quick plug and wanted to give everybody a chance to win a trip to Iceland.
Iceland!
All this week, every day, we're giving away a vacation every day to Iceland.
Home of the world's most beautiful ladies.
This trip is valued at over $5,000. It includes round-trip air on Iceland Air, three-night hotel, Iceland Air, the coolest airline crossing the Atlantic.
All right.
If you want it, right now, I'm going to ask a simple question about today's show. Very simple question. We had two guests on today's show. Who were those two guests?
Can't get any easier than that.
Be the 100th person to get through right now at 1-877-365-3636. Erica will take it all the way up to caller 99,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll say caller 100. If you can tell us the two guests we've had on today's show, you win the first of five free vacations to Iceland.
I'll give you a clue. The answer is not paintball.
We will be right back. Dave here.
Oops.
That was the wrong button. That was the right one.
He's the Don and Mike.
You don't either play for me or coach for me. I mean, goddamn, I'd be an emotional wreck if I had emotions for every goddamn guy that I coach against that's played or coached or whatever. I mean, hell, I've had Jimmy Crute. And goddamn, Jimmy played for me, was a great player, and coached for me for about 8 years. I should have gone to Devon to go down. Goddamn, I should have been just emotionally drained, for Christ's sake. Right.
Rest easy and know that every broadcast brings you one day closer to the peaceful, tranquil, eternal sleep of the dead. So enjoy the Don and Mike Show.
Here we go. We're going to make a big drawn-out production out of this contest today, but as it turns out, the show's just been too jam-packed.
Lots of stuff going on.
So we'll do some heavy contesting later in the week, but now it'll definitely be your easiest chance to win the first of five vacations to Iceland.
Oh, that's exciting.
Happy right now. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, my God.
Hi.
Oh, my God.
Hey, baby, what is your name?
My name is Amanda.
Amanda, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Gaithersburg.
Amanda.
You
must be listening on good old WJFK.
Yeah!
Amanda?
Yeah?
We very rarely have guests. Today we had two.
Yeah.
Amanda Grace?
It was fabulous!
Pardon me?
Pardon me? You had two fabulous guests.
Who were the two guests we had, Amanda?
Richard Simmons.
Yes.
And the Rhoda woman. I don't know her name, but she played
Rhoda. Yeah, that's right. Somebody give this woman a mop.
I'm doing the best.
You have won a trip for two to Iceland.
Oh, my God.
This includes round trip air and Iceland Air.
Oh, my God.
Three nights hotel accommodation, Iceland Air, the coolest airline crossing the Atlantic. Everybody listening, visit www.icelandair.com to discover their world. Your vacation valued at $5,000.
I can't believe it.
Have a great, great vacation to Iceland.
Oh, I will. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, Amanda.
Oh, that's so exciting.
We never have anybody that yells like this when they win a prize.
Oh,
listen to that. Amanda's going to Iceland.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to Iceland.
Yes, you are, Amanda. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hold on, please. Hold on a second.
Now, that
is our kind of winner right there.
Right.
That was great. It's a great prize. I'm glad that she reacted like that. And we'll give away another one of these trips tomorrow.
Cool.
And Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And hopefully it'll be a little tougher than just calling in to win the rest of the days this week.
But Amanda was listening. Way to go.
She sure was. And our thanks to Iceland Air.
Yeah.
IcelandAir.com. Now it's time for Guy J. Birdley News and Comments. Let's talk about Johnny the Wad.
Let's do it. This week's National Enquirer carries a claim that Playboy founder Hugh Hefner once had sex with the late porn star John Holmes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Holmes, also known as Johnny Wadd, was famous for his enormous penis. After appearing in straight and gay adult films, Holmes died of AIDS in 1988. Now, this claim that Hefner and Holmes had sex is actually an excerpt from a book being written by Holmes' wife, porn star Misty Dawn.
Oh, sure.
Misty Dawn.
Sure. You know, if Hef did that and it was just a one-time deal,
right?
I mean, that's quite a guy to do it with just one time.
Who would have thought it? Who would have believed it about Hugh Hefner?
He was fishing, of course.
The Inquirer.
He was fishing.
The Inquirer says the revelation tickles Hef's former girlfriend, Carrie Lee. It quotes her as saying, "Hef always told me to think big. Now I bet he's choking on his word."
Hello, Carrie Lee. This is Hugh Hefner. I'd like to have a gay experience with the man with the biggest penis in the world.
Right, Mr. Hefner. I'll call Johnny the Wad.
Thank you very much.
Johnny the Wad, this is Hugh Hefner's office.
Tell him I'm waiting at the mansion for him to have sex with me.
This is John Wad's office. May I help you?
Hi, this is Hugh Hefner.
Is this Hef or Pev? Are you Hugh Hefner from Playboy or Pev from Pev's Painful?
Hugh Hefner from Playboy magazine, and I'm at the grotto, and I'm waiting with Rudy's lubricant. Please send over Mr. Watt. Thank you very much.
A couple of small planes collided over Southern California today. One crashed into the seventh hole of a golf course. The other landed in some trees across the freeway.
Hole in one.
Yeah. The plane fell into a heavily populated area. No one on the ground was hurt. Four people in the planes were killed. One golfer says he ran for his life when he saw the plane coming at him straight down. Another says he thought he was seeing part of an air show. He wasn't. From Atlanta and Baltimore County searched the home of the NFL's Ray Lewis today. Baltimore Ravens linebacker, he's still in jail in Atlanta facing murder charges.
Oh, really?
Two men were stabbed to death after the Super Bowl, apparently by someone in Lewis's party. The officers in today's search carried out some large plastic containers and a computer. No word on what they were looking for or what they found.
I do know that his brother Richard has come out to say that he's absolutely innocent.
But have they gotten a quote from Dad?
Richard Lewis.
Who's his dad? Lewis.
Jerry.
Oh.
Sister Sherry.
Sherry Lewis.
Gasoline prices are up lately.
And of course, their grandfather, Al.
Gasoline prices are up.
Grandpa Munster.
Gas prices up lately, mostly because the oil countries have been manipulating supply and demand. But President Clinton may be about to prove two can play that game.
President Clinton.
The Arab oil countries have cut back on production. When supply goes down, demand goes up, and so do prices. But Time magazine says the president is considering selling some of our government's secret stash to the oil companies, which would lead to lower prices.
Yeah, how do you like my secret stash? I got it right over here.
Look at it right there.
That is my secret stash of natural gas. Clean burning, efficient, natural gas.
Well, we're talking about gasoline here. The government has hundreds of millions of barrels of oil stored in underground caves.
I'm talking about my AG.
That's right.
Ass gas.
The government has hundreds of millions of barrels of oil stored in underground caves in Texas and Louisiana, mostly for emergencies. The New York Post quotes one senator as saying, "We're getting very close to an emergency."
All I have to do is release the secret stash of my ass gas, and we will be fine. We'll have all the power we need.
Thank you, President Clinton.
You're welcome. Thank you, Don.
And one bizarre note about the little Cuban boy. There's an investigation underway into reports that one of the boy's grandmothers bit him on the tongue and made him show her his private parts to see how much he'd grown.
Yeah, that's normal.
The grandmother talked about this on Cuban television after she returned to that country following a visit here to check on the child's welfare.
Really? I bit on his tongue, and then I made him pull down his pants so I could look at his wiener to see how much he has grown. Please let him come live with me.
She says she did that to put the boy at ease.
Yeah. Now, I know what will make you feel more comfortable. Let me bite your tongue while I pull down your pants, little boy.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Florida officials are treating it as a possible abuse case as they continue their efforts to keep him in this country.
Oh, really?
Yes, really. And the tales are sketchy, but Steven Spielberg is at home recovering from kidney surgery. His spokesman says that Spielberg had an irregularity on his kidney. The spokesman says the problem was found during a routine physical exam.
He says Spielberg is expected to recover completely with no follow-up treatment.
He'll still be able to make magic for his Buzz.
Yeah, I'm
sure he will.
That irregularity is the same shape of that mountain in Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
They make that movie magic.
He got trouble.
Steve Spielberg. Have you seen his wife? Excuse me, Buzz. Have you seen his wife's boobs?
Kate Capshaw?
She has gigantic boobs.
Yeah, there's one crappy movie with Tom Selleck where you see her boobs all the time.
Love Letters.
Yeah. Oh, worst movie I've ever seen.
With Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, but Kate Capshaw.
She has gigantic. I mean, she has fantastic fun bags.
Yeah, and she's also
really
wow. In one of those Indiana Jones movies. She
was his girlfriend.
Nice fun bags too.
Yeah, she has fun gigantic bags. Jugs.
Yeah, that's your term, but I enjoy that. For breath, that's one of my all time
fun bags.
Fun bags.
Titanic orange.
A fun flesh.
The reports with David.
Great knockers. Really?
Well, he's Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, of course.
Only the best.
And he
Steven
traded
Spielberg.
In. Who's the one he traded in for her? The girl with the round.
Amy Irving. Right.
Right. Amy Irving.
The report
in her day was a good looking woman too, but she didn't have the fun bag.
No, she sure didn't.
The reports that David Letterman would be back at his desk a week from tonight may have been premature. Letterman producer Rob Burnett.
Oh, you hope so, Mike.
Yes. Rob Burnett.
That's a moment of real joy on my face.
Rob Burnett says the talk of February 14th was partly wishful thinking and some play on the fact that next Monday is Valentine's Day.
I stand by the bet I made with Mike on January 14th.
Would you like to double it? It was $50, is that right?
Yeah, big man.
You're on.
Okay. Double or nothing.
$100
on.
Whether Letterman returns a week from tonight.
Double or nothing.
You're on.
We'll double the bet.
A $100 bet.
You're on. Although there still won't be guest hosts doing the Letterman format, there will be stars reminiscing and interviewing each other about their appearances on the show this week.
Yeah, there's no way they're going to go with that pass this week. Letterman will be back next Monday, and I will be glad to take your $100 next Tuesday.
Okay. Tonight, Charles Grodin talks to Julia Roberts and Regis Philbin. Tomorrow, Regis talks to Jerry Seinfeld and Danny DeVito.
Yeah, people will watch that.
Wednesday, Paul Schaefer interviews Bruce Willis and possibly Richard Simmons. On Thursday, it's Regis again talking to Bill Cosby and Sarah Jessica Parker. Friday, Paul Schaefer again talking to Steve Martin, Bill Murray, and possibly Billy Crystal. That's the plan at this point.
Right. Real ratings grabber, that lineup.
Absolutely.
Come back, Dave.
I like that angle you're taking on it, that because of the nervousness about the ratings, because of this week, that they might...
He'll be back.
Say, hey, you got to get back. But you know what? The only thing that I'm confident about is that particular day. I would say if you made that a bet for like Tuesday...
Tuesday,
no way. But I don't think he's going to be back on Valentine's
Day. Halfway through the ratings period. He'll be back Monday.
He needs to be back.
$100 with your Buzzy timeout, please.
Right.
We'll be right back.
Love this massive tumor.
Do you find me, Lewis, annoying?
God damn it.
Right?
The Don and Mike Show.
Big show today, tomorrow. Oh, giving away another $5,000 vacation to Iceland.
Amanda sure liked it.
Also tomorrow, we're going to be signing up more girls for the hot tub contest with Dennis.
Hey.
One of the girls we signed up today, we had to disqualify.
Why is that?
Because she's still in high school.
Oh, oh dear.
The girl who just had the baby.
Oh, yeah, the baby's having babies.
We had to disqualify her. Even though she's 18,
yes.
We do have an unwritten rule about high school girls.
Absolutely.
And also tomorrow on the show, master hypnotist Gary Conrad
will be coming in to hypnotize Homo Joe.
Yeah, this guy is an excellent hypnotist.
You know, really, what I look forward to him doing is making Homo Joe as macho as
macho,
possible.
And that is exactly the goal. We're going to try Rob, Charlie, maybe Buzz. Uh-huh. I know that I've been put under before. Right. I'm a good subject.
Yeah, yeah.
So whatever happens...
You know that I'm terrified of it, too, right?
Don't worry.
I'm glad you remember that.
Do not worry.
I just remember that one time you were hypnotized, and I just said, you know, I'd be going home drinking a cranberry juice with my butt bleeding if I got hypnotized.
That's tomorrow. Master hypnotist Gary Conrad. Now back to Buzzy.
Brian Gumbel's going to have to cough up considerably more than the $250 a month his wife says he's been sending.
Oh, really?
She convinced a judge to make Gumbel pay her a $4,000 a month allowance.
Well, there, that's a little steep, isn't it?
$5,000 a month to her visa bill.
Michael Olson.
Yes, Brian.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right.
And also,
she wants the judge to make him pay her mortgage and her taxes. Altogether, we're talking about $40,000 a month.
Well, he only makes $5 million a year.
From CBS.
For being on that crappy CBS show.
Yeah, but she doesn't deserve it. I do all the work, and you know, she doesn't need maybe $100 a month. She'll be fine.
What was he paying before, Bob?
He said that he had been sending $250 a month and that he didn't even send any Christmas presents.
More than enough.
Kid.
More than enough. Who can't live on that in this day and age? There's so many services available in the city.
Now, in fairness to Brian, he has offered to pay about $30,000 a month, about $10,000 less than she's asking for.
Yes,
so
yes, I've offered that.
Surely they'll find
that. True, though. It's not a real offer.
A happy middle ground.
The real offer is what she...
This is the end of the Don and Mike Show.